Can you please all take me? All right. Trying to give time to this seat shuffling that's going on, because Faith, who will be other technicians coming? We'll start without projections, it's fine. You've got hard copies and soft copies, colleagues, right? Or at least your soft copy. All right. Colleagues, thank you very much. I think let us start. Okay. We are meeting this morning on the TRASA-related matters. They need no introduction. It's a follow-up meeting to a meeting we had in June. We were due to meet in July. And then we postponed again because of the taxi-related matters that were taking place in the city of Cape Town. And it so happened that the Department of Transport and City of Cape Town, who are here, had to deal with that matter. So they are again, I almost said the affected party. But they, we had to be reasonable to the issues, and that they were dealing with that, and that this matter requires that both of them again specifically. So it's in that context why we postponed. Let's have a look and just close the door first there. But before we start, colleagues, I would like to welcome and introduce a new alternate member. As per ATC, Honorable Makamba, who will be the alternate to Honorable Mende. Good morning and welcome. We look forward to a healthy working relationship with yourself. Colleagues, as you also know, Mazamban, as you also know, at the end of June, our committee secretary, Ubabu Ben Kali, took retirement, and we've now got an acting secretary in his stead, who's working with Sis Ntombi. She's seated next to me, Sis Buzela Mono, and she will be acting in the capacity of committee secretary until such time that the vacancy is full. So welcome to you as well, and we look forward again to a healthy working relationship with yourself. Right, then there's, colleagues, the reason why we're starting at 8, well, we're supposed to start at 8, is that we had a request for an early departure by the Minister of Transport for another engagement, which was communicated to myself. She will be leaving at 11, but officials relevant to the issue will remain, and so we thought we'll give it an additional amount of time. And Worship, the mayor of Cape Town as well, will have an early departure. He will stretch himself as far as possible as well to probably leave at 11 as well. So I want to put it in context as to that's why we're meeting at an unusual hour, and thank you for understanding. The late change did interrupt Parliament's own logistics, water and all that other stuff will be sorted out as the meeting proceeds. So I think what we'll do then, colleagues, let's go to the presentation, which is a joint presentation, right? And then we'll go to human settlements. We've got a presentation. And then, so what we'll do, we'll start with the Minister of Transport and her team, and then we'll go to the Mayor if there's any additions that he would like to make to the presentation, and then the Minister of Human Settlements will start. So we'll take all presentations and inputs at one, and the only disclaimer I have is that please understand that presentations are taken as read because they were circulated in good time. So please cover the salient points and also be mindful of time. So colleagues, good morning and welcome. Welcome the Minister of Transport, Minister of Human Settlements, the Mayor of Cape Town, Deputy Mayor of Transport, the Board of PRASA led by the Chair and the Executives, the DGs who are here. I did receive the DG, apologies, the Acting DG of Public Works, who was sent to the Acting Deputy DG, because they were at. Right, so I think we're all here. So we'll start in that sequence for the purposes of time, so that at least we are able to cover ground. Please don't repeat what you said the last time. We know it. We want a progress report on the issues related to the central line. The nub of today's meeting is to gauge whether you are making progress or not. Progress. So if what you say does not contribute to progress, don't say it. If there's no progress, say that there's no progress. Then we know where we stand. That is the nub of it. This is a continuation, right? So it's not a new meeting. We've been to the central line on three occasions now, colleagues. We've had numerous meetings. So progress is the operative word for today, right? Minister Chikunga, over to you, ma'am, and your team. Honorable Mayor, stand by. You will come in after the minister, and then we'll go to Minister Kubai. Colleagues, Nishap?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Malbongwe. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Kengwa. Let me also greet members of SCOPA, Honorable Members of SCOPA, Minister Kubai, Minister of Human Settlement, Deputy Minister of Transport, Honorable Lisa Mang, Chairperson of the PRASA Board and CEO, Group CEO, Advocate James Milau, as well as DDG. Makaipia, responsible for rail in the Department of Transport, senior managers that are here from the mayor of the city of Cape Town. And everyone who is here, good morning. Chairperson, we are here indeed to provide you with the progress since the last meeting with SCOPA that was held on the 5th of July this year regarding the implementation plans by the City of Cape Town on assisting PRASA with the relocation of illegal dwellers on the railway reserve between Philippi and Langa. This, of course, is a matter that is crucial for the Department of Transport, but also PRASA, so as to resolve especially the running and recovery of railway services in Cape Town region. The central line becomes one of the key challenges that, as spheres of government, we must find an amicable solution to deal with and to address. To successfully execute programs, the following items are on the critical path and have to be activated and aligned accordingly. These, of course, include the overall funding confirmation for the implementation of the program securing of land for relocation purposes, but also for facilitating and facilitation of statutory processes required to enable the use of the secured land and the land parcels for relocation purposes in a manner that is faster, and of course that warrants us to regard it as an emergency program. Effective community engagements with both affected communities of Langa, Philippe and Khayelitsha, as well as the receiving communities, is already been done, and of course we wish to announce that we have identified relocation sites. The following progress has been made so far since our last meeting. That will include land for relocation, that is engagement on the Makasa land parcel owners have taken place and it is ongoing. The statutory processes include the rezoning application, which was lodged with the City of Cape Town on the 7th of August. Estimated time is 9 months. Funding becomes discussions with National Treasury happened, but funding for the land and still not, it is still not secured. So we're saying here, the funding discussions with National Treasury has actually happened, but it is still continuing, because we definitely want to find funds for the land. The implementation of Operation Bekela also through the infilling of households located within the said buffer area has also been completed. This has enabled the resumption of limited rail service between Cape Town CBD to Langa and Langa to Nyanga as at the end of July 2022. The implementation of Operation Bekela 2 is to be undertaken through both infilling within the existing settlement and where required relocation on a temporal capacity to an alternate portion of land owner owned by CRASA. In this regard, Chairperson, I will request that we allow the CRASA to therefore cover the presentation that will cover everything and including our recommendations to the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, which we have already identified. Those will actually refer to what we think other departments should consider doing, including the City of Cape Town. I thank you at this moment. Allow me to hand over to Russell.
Thank you very much. Mayor, do you want to come in now after the presentation for your opening remarks?
Sir, Mr. Chairman, and honourable members, it's firstly wonderful and slightly strange to be back here and to be back on this side of the table. Good morning, sir. And it's a pleasure to be back, honourable chairperson. We have a joint presentation which is presented by all of the agencies and departments who are working constructively together. And I, as you said at the beginning, the presentation is read and we all had input into this presentation. I would just like to remind honourable members and yourself, honourable chair, that once the rezoning application is submitted, which it now has been, as the minister has rightly said, on the 7th of August of this year, then the City of Cape Town also takes on the role of a regulator. We are a planning regulator. For those of you who have been in local government, you will know that the municipality is also the planning regulator. And so we now start the regulatory process to go through the processing of that rezoning application, which requires an extensive public consultation period, which results in the time frame that the minister has outlined just a few moments ago. And in this case, Chairperson, I would even recommend that we go above and beyond in the public consultation for this project, because we know that it is a controversial relocation and that we are dealing with a potentially litigious community who could potentially delay the program a long time if the rezoning application ends up in court. So we have to be extremely careful about playing our rezoning, our regulatory role, to the letter of the law. Nevertheless, I'm still very encouraged because of Operation Bekela. I think this is a huge step forward in the program, and I commend PRASA for pursuing that. In the very, very first meeting that I had on the central line relocation a week into my term, the then chief executive was, I think his name was Mr. Matthews, the chief executive of PRASA, and we made two proposals. Firstly, that we try and identify land in Lunga, which never worked out, and secondly, that we try to utilize the rail corridors, the rail reservations. And that is exactly what Operation Bekela has started to do, and I think that that will achieve much, much faster progress over the coming months. So I'm very supportive of that. Of course, the city is ready to provide basic services to the new community once it is established. That is our constitutional and legal duty, and we have budgeted to do the same. The National Minister of Human Settlements has recently provided additional basic settlements, informal settlements budgets for the purpose of that servicing and other informal settlements as well. And, you know, we are ready and committed to play our part in that regard once the final new community is set up. In the meantime, we continue to offer basic services on the railway track. Somewhat controversially, it must be said, but we obviously have a legal duty, we believe, to do that and are still doing that. And as soon as we see the progress of Operation Bekela, then we can relocate those basic services to those new sites under Bekela program. So, Chair, the presentation is joint, and I subscribe to its contents. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Medwart. I just wanted the political principles to be done. CEO, are you leading us in the presentation? All right, CEO, over to you, and then we'll go to human settlements. Can we please... Oh, we welcome the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure. Minister has already started. If the phone does ring, we do collect 100 rands from the one it rings from. We are fundraising for charity. Oh, all right, HDA. All right. All right. All right. CEO presentation.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. We will take you through the presentation. As indicated, it was a joint presentation developed through the IPC committee that we will put forward. I think as the presentation is being pulled up,
there was a delay with services, so we all going through hard copies. Those that have soft copies will use their soft copies.
No, let me keep that one there. Okay. Good morning, everyone, once again, to all the honorable members. Minister Chikunga and Minister Kubai, Deputy Minister, Deputy Ministers, the Mayor of the City of Cape Town, Minister of Public Works that is present, DGs, senior officials, the PRASA board, and my colleagues from the executive team. All protocol observed. I apologize if I've left out anyone in the meeting. Chair, I will also start by uh, also start by indicating that I will take it as the presentation is read and touch on the salient points as for our last meeting in terms of where we were. From the PRASA perspective, as we've indicated, without repeating our previous progress, is that we have completed the phase one of the central line. We are now focusing on phase two, bringing back the service extending beyond Nyanga through to Chris Hani in Khayelitsha and Captain's Club in Mitchell's Plain. The issue at hand now is to ensure the full recovery of the central line. We do require the relocation of the settlement. Now, I will start off, honourable members, by dealing with the issue around Operation Bekela, which is the temporary relocation, and this is earmarked at ensuring that we can at least provide a limited service through to Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain. We have identified the site at Stock Road Station, where we will be relocating those informal settlements that are immediately within the reserve that needs to be relocated so that construction can commence within the corridor. As I've mentioned to the committee before, those contractors have been appointed by PRASA to undertake the work, both from the rail track reconstruction as well as the electrical infrastructure packages that need to be done. We've also awarded around the stations that will be improved in terms of our passengers having access to rail. Honourable Chair and members, the one thing that we have moved since the last meeting, the site visit, it was a key point being raised by the SCOPA members, was around security and the walling, the fencing. We can indicate that those packages are out in the market in terms of closing and protecting the reserve. So that is another development that has happened. Now, honourable members, coming to the matter of Operation Bekela and progress with that, we have now reached a stage where we are finalising the appointment and procurement of the contractors to undertake the work. This week we are starting with the clearing of the site at Stock Road, the vegetation clearing. We are targeting that by next week we want to move on to site and start with the engineering works around preparation of that site. During this period there were some delays that we had experienced, one related to what we in Cape Town with respects to the recent taxi strike that we've had. Secondly, around what was indicated about confirmation of the basic services, the connections to the site, which we've got confirmation last week on where that will be serviced in terms of the Stock Road site. And then thirdly, as I've indicated on our side, was concluding around the procurement of these contractors to undertake the work at these sites. So we are looking at clearing starting this week. We are looking at the engineering work starting next week. And we are targeting a 3 to 4 week program in terms of completing all the works and ready for the relocation of those plus minus 900, just under 900 settlements that we will need to move to Stock Road, to the Stock Road site. Now, Chair, what we needed to indicate from our side was that there were some important prerequisites moving forward for this temporary relocation. And one important matter was around a confirmation on the long-term plan for the relocation. And this relates to beyond the Stock Road movement. The colleagues that, or the inhabitants that will be moved wanted certainty around what the long-term plan is. And that was a key issue that needed to be addressed. That relates to the issues of the land that the colleagues will speak to in terms of a bit more detail, what's available in terms of the long-term plan. And I will ask the colleagues from HGA if they can give an update regarding that process on the phase one long-term relocation, as well as the phase two dealing with, when we last spoke, the possibility of the Temba Labs as well as the Makassar land that was being looked at. But the colleagues from HJA can give an update in terms of where we are. So Honorable Chair and members, from the PRASA point of view, we are moving. There's going to be progress around the temporary solution. We do need to get that confirmation on the long-term plan to ensure that this process does happen without any hindrance or delays in the relocation of these settlements. So colleagues, if I may then leave it there and ask the update from the team from HDA on where we are with the long-term relocation in terms of the phase one as well as the phase two land parcel. Thank you, Chair.
HDA?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I am Peggy Kenisa, the CEO of HDA. I think from our side, Chair, we will be guided by our executive authority in terms of the process. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. It's beginning to look clumsy. Right. Is there any other matter that PRASA would like to raise and update us on?
That was the update on Operation Bekela and where we are with our works at this point in time.
All right. Minister of Human Settlements, can I hand over to you and your team?
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to Minister Chikunga and Minister Sigalala, Deputy Minister Mangu, Mayor Hill-Lewis, members of the SCOPA, executives and boards who are here from both PRASA and HDA and Department of the three departments which are here. Chair, just to indicate, we've circulated a presentation, and the reason why I would want to give context is because if we do not clarify quite a number of issues, we are going to be here 3 years down the line, because there are laws that allows for what needs to be happening in terms of settling people, in terms of housing. There is grant systems that we work on. And maybe let me explain how HDA operates. HDA is an implementing agent. We utilize the implementing agent as the Department of Human Settlement to facilitate work in the provinces and in the municipalities. So they get to be appointed either by the municipality or by the province. They do not have funds transferred to them as an entity. So for any work that they have to do, they have to be commissioned, and money has to be transferred to them so that we do not have an unfunded mandate which will lead to an audit issue. So the difficulty why the CEO of HDA will pause a bit, as it is now, we're sitting with money that has been spent by HDA of about 12 million. It has not been reinvested. So we've got to find who's going to reinvest it. And I'm going to explain how Human Settlements grant system works. One is that out of the informal settlement upgrading grant, because this is what we do, so we transfer money into the city, we transfer money into the province. The National Department of Human Settlement does not sit with money for either building, upgrading of informal settlement, provision of services. So what annually happens is that a province or a municipality would develop a business plan, submit it to the national department to say, this are our plans for this year. And out of that, because based on the allocation of money per grant, so the grant, like you would know as members of parliament, you pass it under DORA. So it's a grant framework which has conditions. So if you do anything outside the grant, then it's violation of the law. So now, what we did in this process is that you would have the City of Cape Town having to apply to National or through their business plan to say, we have this that we are going to do, therefore we request the allocation of money. And then it will be within the framework that, okay, the implementing agent is HDA. Currently, the appointment of HDA in terms of services and operating within the city in terms of the grant framework has not been done. That's the first issue. So HDA is appointed by PRASA and Department of Transport to do the work, but that work that they are doing is limited. Will not be into the extent of purchase of land, will not be in the extent of eradication of temporary units or any other, because those will fall within the human settlement portfolio. I hope that is very clear. And hence this, that's what I'm saying, let me just take you back so that you can understand, because if we don't unblock these things, we're going to be having discussions of discussions. Now, then I've explained where HDA is. Now, coming to the roles, and you'd see in the presentation, I'm going to talk to the presentation. I'm not going slide by slide, chair, as you said, it's taken by read. Going to the presentation, one, you'd see that the rezoning of the land has been submitted. The mayor says it will take 9 months. And my issue with how the city, and I'll come to why I lodged a dispute, it's because I do believe that the mayor and the city are unnecessarily putting hurdles on the process. And let me justify one. On the 9th of May, 2023, the mayor announced a red tape reduction. One of the areas that he spoke about is around the value chain and the index on the built environment value chain. This was to reduce the time in terms of application process for building, application process for land rezoning, and all that. And they have put some level of reduction of the previous times, which they've had, to now. The mayor currently and the city, on this particular project, they are not considering what they've put on the index as part of reduction of red tape. So we are subjected to the long-term processes. Even when there is a need for us to be able to say, let's support transport, let's support PRASA, in terms of the economic impact of the PRASA rail line not functioning. Where I agree with the mayor is the issue of managing expectations, where communities go and settle themselves so that they can jump the queue. We have that view as a portfolio as well, to say you've got to manage that. But in this case, we understand the plight of what they are saying at PRASA and transport. The second area where we agree with the mayor, and which I disagree with what is being said, you can't go and commit on a long term, and we must be honest with communities. The reason why we can't commit on long term is that if you look at housing code, you look at how Human Housing Act, and our framework and our requirements, is that for a long-term intervention to a household, there are processes that must be followed. So us sitting here can commit to a long-term. We are committing as Human Settlement to a resettlement of the people in terms of temporary, so that they then can fall into the system of allocation. How do we do that in terms of Human Settlement? We normally appoint what we call social facilitators professionally to be able to engage the communities, educate them about the laws, because otherwise we'll be violating, all of us, myself and mayor, would be violating what are the laws that governs human settlements. So that's why, one, we're saying, let's not talk about long-term, and I hope Scopa would understand. From the side of human settlement, we can't talk about long-term. We're talking about, like we do with the temporary, after the disasters and everything, we'll talk about resettlement for them into a temporary, or it could be land that is purchased, because once you say permanent or long-term, it means we must build them houses immediately and all those things as long-term solutions, which we cannot, because they've got to follow the list in terms of priority and beneficiary processes. They must be verified as potential beneficiaries, who they are, and all those things is required by law. What we are able to do in the immediate is to relocate them so that they move away from the PRASA line, so that the railway can function effectively. That's what we are committing to. Now, as I explained the system, one, you look at the presentation, I've said that we've conditionally approved the business plan of the City of Cape Town because they've not included the PRASA line in the business plan as we approved. This is 2023-2024 financial year, which started on the 1st of August. We initially, there was a view that we should not completely approve. We felt that if we do not, then we are affecting other informal settlement upgrading projects that we have. So we said we'll do it conditionally so that they are able to continue with currently the work and we resolve the issue of the Prasa line. And the issue for me was, why would the city not include the Prasa line in the project plan if this is part of what we are doing? Whether in terms of allocation for resources for social facilitation, whether it's allocation of resources for geotech, because as we identify the land, we must go and do geotech. HDA will have to get, if City of Cape Town, for example, Minister Chikung, if City of Cape Town decides that they do not want to utilize HDA as a service provider for the purchase of land and for the relocation, we have no way of saying you must do it. It's within their system. So that's why I said, let me explain, Chair, so that you understand the role of HDA, because I think in the process some of the things are not understood. So when they put it in the business plan in terms of ISUP upgrading, then they would say this is what we'll do. My concern currently is that there is nothing that is featuring there. And that's why conditionally we said they need to put it in the business plan. And I'll come to part of the, because this is part of the reason why I'm declaring a dispute, because we're not making progress. Number two is that in the process, because for any allocation of funds, it has to be planned for in their business plans. So whatever that we do in that Prasa relocation, whether it's identification of land, because eventually it will be through the city that will have to provide temporary services, which is what we call human rights services, water, sanitation, in order for them to, wherever we are putting them in temporary, those will have to be within the costing of the city. Now, it's not there in the business plan within this financial year, meaning that even if we can agree to find a land, we buy the land, the problem of services will continue because it's not in the business plan. That's why it's important to understand the context. Now, coming to the issue of the dispute, I've written to the Minister of COGTA declaring a dispute to say we are not making progress. It's almost 2 years down the line that we've been having conversations. This is where we are differing with Mayor. We held various conversations. The first one, when I arrived into the portfolio, we came into it, and then the city said, we would like to do this work, but we have difficulty of funding. We do not have funds. And because you can't ask us to reprioritize what we have already committed to communities, therefore it's going to be a difficulty. I made a commitment to say, I understand your plight and the commitments that you've made based on your business plans and your commitment to communities. What I will do as the Minister of Human Settlements, during the adjustment processes, we'll go and find money and redirect to you so that you can be able to have the money to be able to attend to this matter. This was with previous MMC conversations. At that time, Mayor Hill Lewis was not there when we had those conversations. It was agreed that we'll find money. Our understanding is that when I say we'll find money, the only legal framework that the Minister of Human Settlement is able to redirect money within the portfolio is during adjustments. We've done it before, and the understanding that because this is an agreement, the city will start making preparations for this work of redirecting the money because it's during adjustment. Chair, we do this over, yes, it has been done previously, where we send money to provinces, to municipalities, adjustment. To my shock, later we had a meeting. The mayor then said, no, we didn't anticipate this money coming. We allocated 50 million to the city, particularly for the Prasa line, through adjustments as I committed. As the money arrived, this was 111. The 61 million, again, it was a commitment that I had made to 16 informal settlements that protested to all of us, the province, the national, and the municipality, where they didn't have basic services. We allocated money for them to provide those basic services in the Khayelitsha area. Then it was this one, we allocated money as agreed previously, that we will allocate the money for them, and that was 50 million. When we got the letter then, the mayor said, no, they are not able to spend money One, they didn't anticipate the money, which was a shock for me because I understood that we've had meetings with the city and the team that this will be coming. We might not have committed exact amount, but we made a commitment that we will provide money. Two, was that it's not the first time that the city receives money during the adjustments, and they said that they didn't know. In that conversation, the city said they will return the money to the fiscus, to National Treasury, because they would not be able to spend the money. I have received the letter from the mayor, which also sent to the Minister of Finance, to say either the Minister of Finance agrees to the rollover of the money, or the money must return, and when whatever the time will come and do that. So I went and wrote to the Minister of COCTA to say that we've had meetings, we don't seem to agree between ourselves and the city. And the sentiment as well, which I think the city has been holding, is that PRASA has been negligent in its duties. They should have protected the lane. They should have ensured that people don't settle there. They have caused this mess and they must sort it out. I said, I don't want to be in fighting who caused what. I have an obligation as Minister of Human Settlement. I've made a commitment and I'm living to my commitment. I've committed to making available the resources. We have done that within the framework of the law. Now we are sitting here with the money not yet approved for rollover first by National Treasury. Two, with the project not being in the business plan of the city of Cape Town. So I have no assurance that anything from the human settlement point of view will be done in relation to that project, and that's the rationale and the context of declaring this one. My request to the Minister of COCTA was first to get a mediator. So it's not a dispute to say we are separating. It's a mediator will come in and help us find each other and get to a point where we can't as a state, because citizens don't know the difference between national, province and local. We can't as a state find ourselves on standstill while citizens continue to suffer. Help us as Minister of COCTA appoint a mediator who understands IGR, who understands local government, but who understands the working of human settlements, who will help us work in this process. And that's where we are as human settlements chair. And that's why I said, unless we unblock these things, we're going to have conversations of conversations for another 3 years. Thank you very much.
Right. Kunisizwe City. Laphuming nembizini. Right, you may have noted you, just stand by. Minister Ziyalala of Public Works, is there any comment on your side before we go to that discussion?
Thanks. May I take this opportunity to greet yourself, Chair, and all honorable members, the Minister of Human Settlement, Minister Kubai, and Minister of Transport, Minister Chikunga, Deputy Minister of Transport, as well as the Mayor. I think from our side, we remain always ready to avail land for socio-economic development. For this in particular, I think there were two pieces that were identified but were found to be used by SAPS. Hence, human settlement has progressed in this way. But in case there is a need and there is a request, we will urgently avail and release any piece of land to ensure that there is a proper resettlement of the people, as the minister has alluded. But I must also emphasize the issue of intergovernmental relations and try to ensure that we should try to work as a team whenever there is any challenge, because we must treat this as an emergency, not just as something that should be treated as if it is in a pipe, in a long-term program. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. All right. We're going to go to, I think the Mayor wanted to make a comment and Minister of Transport. Let me just make one clarity. The issue around PRASA's negligence is not in dispute. so that we get past that. The previous board took an irresponsible and reckless decision and cancelled the security contract, which landed Prasa throughout the country in this mess. And then COVID came and it exacerbated the problem. There's clarity on that one. I say this for the purposes of progress. We are, without sounding pompous, we are quite well versed on the circumstances that landed us where we are. And hence I emphasize the point I made earlier. Progress. Are we moving in resolving this matter? That's, so I'm trying to really channel ourselves to that. The historic matters are well ventilated, well understood, well in their context. Where consequence management has to take place, I'm sure our report will make those considerations, because how the previous board of PRASA handled the security matter for us is a matter that cannot just be ignored. It has to be dealt with, but not here. So all inputs forward-looking. So that's why I was saying what the Minister of Human Settlements has said places us in a particular context, that there is now a dispute, so that we clarify those things. So I'll go to the Mayor of Cape Town, and then the Minister of Transport can come in and conclude on any of the issues that have been raised, and then colleagues, I'll come to yourself. So just stand by. Mayor?
Thank you so much, Honourable Chair. I do think the dispute which the Minister of Human Settlements has now lodged really is unfortunate and unnecessary and will slow down the progress that you have called for quite significantly, because the intergovernmental dispute process is a very long and circuitous and slow process, but nevertheless that is the choice that the Honourable Minister has made, and we will obviously respond accordingly. But the fact is that there is absolutely nothing in the implementation contract which all of the parties here signed, and if you look at the section relating to the city, there's nothing in that contract that we have been asked to do that we have not done. We have said time and time again we commit to delivering basic services to the settlement once the new community, once it is settled and established, and we will do that. We are already, in fact, doing that on the train line. We are delivering basic services there. And once Operation Bekela kicks in and makes progress in Phase 2, we will deliver basic services in that rail reserve as well, because we understand that is our commitment under the implementation protocol and under the law. The point that I have made, and the point which has become central to the dispute, and I wish to make it clear again here today, is that the city is not going to purchase the land for the permanent relocation. Sir, I have got servitudes around the city which are illegally occupied, where I need to find land that for those relocations. I've got people living in city-owned wetlands and stormwater detention ponds, where I have to find land for relocation. I have ESCOM on my case every day about the illegal occupations under their pylons, where they are asking us to find land for relocation. And the list goes on and on. I cannot possibly take on the responsibility of another government entity which has allowed an illegal occupation of their property and to take on the responsibility of finding land for that relocation. That is not what we signed up for in the implementation protocol, and it is not what we are going to be doing. We are going to stick to our lane, which is the planning regulatory lane and the basic services lane. And I promise you, Chair, if we all stick to our lanes, we will make the progress that you are seeking, and we will sort this out. We're already doing that. So I did send back the $50 million for the land acquisition, because I thought that I have been explicitly clear from the word go, and if I haven't, I want to be explicitly clear now that the city is not going to purchase land for this relocation. The Transnet and PRASA are one of the biggest landowners in the whole country. We've just heard the Minister of Public Works, by far the biggest landowner in the whole of South Africa, commits to releasing his land. So we are going to stick to our lane, which is the planning regulatory lane and the basic services lane. And if we just all do that, I promise you we will get through this and we will make progress together. I just want to talk about the time frames. So Chair, just to make it clear, that's why we returned the 50 million. The 61 we are keeping because that is to fund basic services, which is our lane. And we will fund those and do it properly as we are already doing. I just want to talk about the red tape point that the Minister makes. Honourable Chairperson, it takes about 2 years to do a basic rezoning in Cape Town. It is a very extensive process. It requires several rounds of public participation. It has to go to full council. It's a long and difficult process. So the 9 months that we are saying here is an expedited process. And I want to raise the committee's attention or draw the committee's attention to a serious risk. The 9 months that we are saying here is excluding any appeal from the community or any court process. And Chairperson, this might not be the case everywhere around the country, but it is certainly the case in Cape Town, that communities are very litigious. They are very litigious, which is why we have to make sure that we go through every step of this process with a fine-tooth comb and stick to exactly what the planning regulation and planning legislation says. Just as the Minister says that there is legislation governing the grants framework, so there is legislation, strict legislation, governing the land use management framework. And we have to stick to that, otherwise this could be delayed for 5 years in court battles with unhappy and litigious communities. So we have a very profound responsibility to make sure that we follow the law to the letter in the planning process. Every other thing that is our responsibility under the implementation contract, we have done. We have now received the rezoning application on the 7th of August, that's just 2 weeks ago, and we are now in a process between the city and the applicant, who is the HDA, to make sure that application is correct and in order before it goes out for its first phase of public comment and consultation. And then we will start to see the temperature of the kind of receptiveness to this proposal out there in the public. I thought it was important to respond to those comments and claims, Chairperson. I also have responded more comprehensively to Minister Nkadimeng, and I will table, I've brought along copies of that letter for everyone. Just so that we can put into proper context the Minister's comments and claims now, and I will table those now, Chairperson, for distribution to members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister Tukula. We'll come to you, Minister, if there's a standby. Honourable Sonia, we'll come to you first.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to emphasize the point that for us, this matter is urgent. Urgent because we would want to see that corridor being recovered as soon as possible. And also urgent because we already have appointed a service provider, a contractor, to start doing the rehabilitation work. And any delay will not be free. It will be very costly. And that is why we would wish that this matter is resolved speedily. We believe that there are possible means and ways of trying to solve this matter with speed. Already the Operation Bagela, which is our initiative, is trying to do that so that we're able to go ahead with the rehabilitation of the railway line. But of course, those people will want to be assured that whenever they are relocated, then they will find a permanent land where they will then permanently be relocated. And that is the challenge that we have because, as a matter of fact, this indeed is a transport program, but it does require other departments to help us to solve the problem. And that is where we are. I just want to emphasize the point that the Department of Transport, through PLASA, is ready to rehabilitate that corridor so that as quickly as possible the trains can start running there. Just want to make that point and emphasize that the trains can start running on that corridor. We're ready to do that. We've identified everything and we've appointed the service provider. We had timelines with the service provider. We are trying to work despite the challenges that are still there. I just want to emphasize that point for now. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And that is why the matter, we believe it's urgent, so that we don't have to incur more cost from the service provider because of the delays that he has no control over. Thank you.
Minister Ziyalala.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, once again. I think when in 2022 the implementation protocol was established, as said by Minister Kubai, the intention was to try to ensure an urgent intervention. Now, it does, while I don't want to debate because the committee will engage, it does look like on the side of the city, the matter is not so urgent. Because rather than acting outside this protocol or taking a unilateral decision of not utilizing the allocation for human settlement, return it back, it does show that they are not treating the matter urgent. And that's why I said, which the mayor has misinterpreted, I said we will always be available to release any piece of land. And it doesn't mean if land belongs to us, we must then say, no, we will not, we will release it. But equally, if they are called to come into the picture, they must play their role. And I think that's what we will need, guided by that implementation protocol. It is clear that it was meant to ensure that the matter is expedited. It is clear that the protocol was also meant to bring all spheres of government together and coordinate together. And therefore, I don't believe that we should allow this approach that there will be a unilateral organ that will act on its own outside this framework. Thank you.
All right. Colleagues, I'm sure you've received the copy of the mayor's letter, right, which was part of his presentation and the submission that is dated the 28th of August. It's a response to the dispute lodged by the Minister of Human Settlements. And as we go on, I just want to draw your attention to paragraph 11 of that letter. I think it will tell us exactly where we are with this matter. Right. Honourable Somio and then Honourable Mente.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to members, the ministers present, transport, human settlements, public works, and the deputy minister. The third mayor of the city of Cape Town, and the CEOs of these various institutions and the chairs of the board. I've been listening, Chair, on the actual inputs by the various parties who are party to the protocol. And it's as if in some instances we are starting afresh, as if the parties haven't had time to engage on these matters. When I listened from the presentation made by PRASA, what is clear there, which has been confirmed by the Minister of Transport, is that they are looking into a two-staged approach which is based on their strategy, which is within Operation Bekela. And that approach allows for temporary relocation, which is going to allow the Department of Transport working together with the city to relocate temporarily those communities, households, away from the rail line. It looks like that has been confirmed. Then we close that envelope. If we close that envelope, it means that the central line will be ready for actual work to continue based on that commitment. And therefore, the separation of that issue to other issues must withstand our nod, our acknowledgement that now we've moved away from the point of talking with communities who are the occupants of the central line, because the agreement exists. Cannot be confirmed by the parties that area is closed. It's closed on the basis that there is going to be temporal relocation, because the parties agree. That's the point, because I would want to establish that point, which is, you see, because our interest, our involvement has been always on the basis that
okay, Absolutely. Just, I think, pose your question again so that they will note it, each department and stakeholder, then they can respond over. They're going to have a conversation amongst themselves in the midst of your question.
They can respond. If there is.
Put your question again, because they are now giving themselves your question and they must get it from you. Then they respond to what... Yes.
Respond.
Pose your question again.
Okay. My question is, which goes with the statement, that we have been engaged for several times looking into households who are on the central line. It seems that today, based on the presentation, the Minister for Transport, PRASA, to their own strategy, Operation Bekela, the first point which relates to temporary relocation away from PRASA line to Stock Road, piece of land, a tick, there's agreement that there will be that temporal settlement which has been agreed between the parties. The city confirms it, that it will play its own role in terms of provision of temporal services which are necessary for that relocation. And the Department of Transport and PRASA are all in one in that kind of situation. Am I hearing you well around that point?
Right. I think that let's dispense with this phase one matter, is the agreement on the relocation to Stock Road. I think just very pointed responses to what you're saying, and then we continue. Right. Let's start with the mayor.
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Somio, yes, you are on the money, you are hitting the nail on the head. Bekela is and always has been, I believe, the best plan for immediate results. And I give credit to the CEO for driving Bekela. The city will provide the basic services there, and it can be done in a matter of, we've heard from the CEO that they are clearing land next week or in the next few weeks. So that is confirmed, sir.
Thank you very much.
Sir, before you move on, I need to come in as Minister of Human Settlements. I hear the plan of moving to the servitude. And the issue I'm raising as a concern, and that's why one of the issues as we scrutinize, remember, the protocol is there, and I agree with the mayor that the protocol is there. But the fact that in terms of human settlements, the city remains obligated to implementing human settlements. And in terms of law, the Minister of Human Settlements provides priorities and directives within the law. Policy priorities are of national department's prerogative and directive. Now, the danger of this, Begela, PRASA are no specialists in sitting and developing human settlements. We are. And we are saying, yes, PRASA is looking at opening the line to work, but Begela is not the option. It's not the best. I disagree with the mayor. It's not the best option, Chair. The best option would be to find land, purchase land, and move these people there temporarily. Put them either in TRUs, what you call temporary residential units, where we provide temporary service. It's a temporary solution because it does not have permanent services in terms of bulk infrastructure and settlement. So for us, people staying in the servitude, you have not solved the problem. And as the minister responsible and custodian of policy and priorities per financial year, I have said that there is a need for the city to come on board so that we can find land and move the people to a proper land. When the mayor says to us, it's not within, it's actually used, we will not pay for land of this. In terms of ISUP grant, the city purchases land across. And that's why we said we will provide this additional funding, particularly for this project. Acknowledgement of his pressure and his city and the commitment to the communities. We, as the department, are saying it's a policy directive, it's an implementation that we need to do. We'll provide the funds. And that's why, I don't know if you understand the context of dispute. There is a dispute here. Because absolutely not prepared. So the temporary situation, Honorable Somyo, the Begela from Minister of Human Settlement, who is the custodian, is not a solution.
Here's the issue, man. I think this clarity is important.
It's very important, Chair.
We are resolving a PRASA matter, right? Our interest here is the reopening of the central line for the purposes of PRASA fulfilling its contribution to economic growth and economic development in the main for the majority of our people who are previously disadvantaged and presently disadvantaged, living outside economic activity. Now, money has been put on the table. And what I want to just ask, in relation to what Honorable Somyo is saying, at what cost is this timeline? That's the issue. At what cost will these services be provided? Until when? And that's what we've been asking. A commitment to your own commitments and timelines. Because our understanding is that Begela was part and parcel of the package. Right? It's phase, can I call it phase 1A? Phase 1A, I don't know, but whatever. So open the lines with the view that at some point, we all understand Begela is not the permanent solution. So colleagues, as we proceed, I'm just drawing attention to it. Maybe our understanding then may be somewhat different to what is, because if there's a dispute now on the table, and that's why I was saying I'm drawing your attention to paragraph 11 of the mayor's response, where he's saying that and I was looking at section 41.2 of the IGFRI. This dispute is it's got a dispute. It's a dispute within a dispute. So the matter has become very complicated. Yeah. So I was just wanting to clarify, Minister of Human Settlements, that the Pegela matter, in our understanding, it is part of the package and therefore cannot be viewed in isolation outside the permanent relocation of the people. Right? To your question, Minister Chikunga, wanted to come in to Honorable Somia, you fine, and then you can proceed. Okay, Minister Chikunga.
Yes, Chair. I think that maybe the Group CEO should respond on the Pegela matter, because Chair, it's a measure out of frustration.
Yes.
You know, from the Department of Transport and PRASA, it's not an ideal thing. It's out of no movement happening, but being frustrated and somehow desperate to see that we continue with the work that we're supposed to do. So it's a measure. And even the phases that we're talking about, they are still dependent on the land being found, because to move people to wherever, for as long as it is still temporary, people will not want that. They want a promise that we will get a permanent land. The mayor is actually talking to basic services being provided. I've been there, Chair. You're talking about the toilets, those plastic toilets that are shared by households, many of them. It's extremely inhuman. It's not something that you can use. So there aren't services that you're talking about that you would want to use. None of us can use those services, basic services that we're talking about in those areas. And that is why for us it is important that we can actually relocate those people, so that we're able. It's, for us, it's not just about those people as well, but it is also about the Khayelitsha people who must pay 7 rand for coming to the city to do the work. What we were experiencing yesterday, people saying I was paying 1,900 rand. We were in the train. I mean, opening one other corridor, and he says I'm paying 300 rand now for transport, from 1,900 rand to 300 rand, because they're paying 7 rand 50 when they were paying 30 something rand. This is what we would want to see happening for Khayelitsha, for Philippi, for the poor people, and that is why we regard this matter as very urgent. And the unfortunate part of it is that, as the Department of Transport, we have no control on the matter. And that is why even this one, the Pegela, is a product of frustration, as a matter of fact. But maybe we can also
agree. Okay, wait. Ministers,
we can also agree. We can, let me request the CEO, the Group CEO, maybe to give details on this one, because I agree with the Minister of Human Settlement that in desperate situations we can actually take, but we're not the expert on those matters, and that is why, as the Department of Transport, we request those that are experts to assist us find a solution on this one matter. Thank you.
I think the CEO need not come in. It's a measure out of frustration. We've had it. Clear. Honorable Somo, complete, and then Honorable Atem. Kata Babu Somo. Okay.
Yeah. No, Chair. It's my first time doing this, Chair. And I'm proposing a 10 minutes break.
Right. I'm listening.
Of a caucus. Please, I'm asking for your indulgence for a 10 minutes break.
Caucus for? Are you asking for a caucus? All right. Okay. Fine. I think, can I please have... All right, wait. Colleagues, just wait. Colleagues, wait. We are still in the meeting. There's a request for a caucus. I'm going to assume it's your...
Yes.
All right, that's fine. That's well allowed. We will resume at 20 to 10. And I think it also helps. There is tea and coffee outside. Right, we'll take a 10-minute caucus. We'll resume at 20 to 10.
Members of the
we appreciate your wisdom in acceding to our request. In this regard, Chair, I would also I will hand over to Comrade Honorable Somio. He is a comrade, by the way.
Okay. All right. Colleague, just one thing. There seems to have been a small communication glitch insofar as the apologies are concerned. So I will have to release the Minister of Transport shortly with the CEO and the Chair of CRASA. So if you can wrap up now, but the DM of Transport is here, right? Yes. So, Baba Somio, two and Comrade Somio, yes?
Oh, yes, thank you. I think, Chair, based on the precursor to the arrangement that we had, the undertaking is well appreciated. That one, the relevance of Operation Bekela has been confirmed. The basis of that confirmation is on the movement away from the rail line, so that the Department of Transport, PRASA, should continue to deal with the services as they are required on the line. The question that relates to the actions based on the implementation protocol ought to be appreciated, because each and every party in that protocol has an outlined responsibility which effectively would assist the actual realization of the finality of ensuring that the rail line is fully utilized and the system responds to the needs of the communities of the city of Cape Town. That is well appreciated. This morning, that has been confirmed by the Department of Transport, by PRASA, by the city. What is of necessity is that as you move people to any place, there must be an assurance that the movement to that place is an acceptable movement, is a human movement, is a receptive instance in as far as required services are concerned. That's where all those who are involved, including human settlement, ought to engage on those matters. The undertaking which I think would need to have from now going forward is the actual quick assessment on the area of receptiveness, on the suitability of that piece of the temporary location, so that in whatever form those are going to be settled there are in a safer environment, as it would have been guaranteed by those who have expertise in that line. That confirmation ought to be received from the Minister of Human Settlements. The city of Cape Town. So that we move forward, ensuring that at least there's a standard format of that settlement in that temporal place. I hope I'm listened to quite appropriately.
Okay. Let's get to the Minister of Human Settlements, and then if there's a comment that the Mayor of Cape Town would want to make, we'll go to the Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chair. And I think Honourable Somio has captured it quite correctly, what I was raising. Any way you are to move people, there must be an assessment of that land in terms of suitability for human settlement. So a study has to be done on an emergency basis. We do this as part of our work in terms of disasters, because where you move people anyway, because you don't know. You can say that you are moving people, then there's a dramatic, the sinkhole happens, and then tomorrow you have to account why people think you move them there. And that's why we are saying, and probably the mayor can agree, that we work together ourselves, either from HDA or the city, do an assessment quickly. It's not a full geotech, but an assessment of suitability of the land, so that when we say Begela, then we know that these people, I will not wake up with a disaster that we must answer to. And that's what the commitment we should be able to make here. I don't think it's a difficulty, Chair. And that's the reason why I raised that my concern of Begela, and that's the context. So if we all agree that assessment, which because initially I think in the plan, it talks about 3 weeks between now and movement of those people. In this 3 weeks, 2 weeks, we should be able to get some level of assessment of that land to get to say, okay, we're moving people here with knowing that there isn't a disaster can happen tomorrow. Thank you very much, Chair.
Mayor? Is this the land? I just want to be absolutely clear. This is the Stock Road Station, the Begela land.
Yes.
Yes, no problem.
Right. So right, there will be an assessment within 2 weeks.
Just to check who will do it.
Okay,
is
wait.
He's saying
yes, but those nitty-gritties you will sort out.
And I thought that the Human Settlement Department and city would have to deal with that. They are solving it now.
Okay. Honorable Liz, your mic, Honorable Sonia.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I'm pleased that we've made this progress, and so I'm pleased that we agreed to the caucus and gave permission to But Mr. Chairman, now the critical thing is that it appears to me is the question of ensuring
Okay, colleagues, can we please be focused? Time is
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I haven't spoken as long as my colleague down there. Mr. Chairman, the critical thing clearly is getting the people moved, but also getting the agreement of the people to move, as I understand it. And it's not. I'm not sure how this 2-3 week timeline is possible. Can I get some clarity on that?
Right. Okay. There's a clarity required. Honourable Minister, stand by, because I'm going to complicate this thing of yours just now. Honourable Minister.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I think we must not respond to each other as committee members. Otherwise, we will then unleash other elements. Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to everyone. One thing I just want to check before Minister Chikunga leaves. As she has correctly put it, she has done that and availed the land out of frustration. And it's not within her ambit to do assessments and all those things. It's not her mandate, neither does she has that expertise in the department. I want to check within the land that the minister is availing, is it going to take everyone? Then we will deal with the long term. And then the second thing is connected to what the CEO was raising, that there is a call from the people before they relocate. They want a commitment of long term. Is that the case? Will they move only on that agreement, or they will move but they will still protest? Because, Chair, the people relocated or rather occupied the raid in protest. It's not that they didn't know it's wrong to be there, but they are protesting because they don't have homes. So it's a call. That's a plight of the people. So Minister Chikunga is saying, I hear your protest. We will still protest where we're going because it's not where you're supposed to be settled. And now they are putting a condition in their protest to say, assure us, you're taking us there, but you will still answer us. You are not answering us. But we know that we are disadvantaging ourselves from Khayelitsha by occupying the place which will lessen the cost of us traveling to work and put food on the table. But she's saying, I hear you, go and still protest. But my problem is the condition of them moving, beginning from the line, in line with human settlement and public works and everyone else signing and saying, we will answer your long term. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, let's get responses to that, and then Minister Chikunga, you can make your concluding remark to the issues that have been raised, and then any other concluding remarks that you may have. Because the issue is, Honourable Liz, you are asking about the numbers, right? For example, with this arrangement and this assessment and all those things. CEO?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just in terms of the numbers, in terms of the numbers that will be relocated to the Stock Road site, it's just short of 900. And I want to stress again, that only relates to those settlements that fall between Nyanga and Philippi within the 10-meter rail reserve that will enable us to commence with rehabilitation work. It's not the full extent of invasion in terms of the reserve. It's at 10 meter, and that's how we're talking about Bekela at this point in time. So the full, just short of 900, can be accommodated at the Stock Road site. So that's the first issue. The issue, Honourable Menche, around, and you're quite correct about the confirmation around the long-term solution. I think importantly now there's been a lot of engagement with the communities there, with the affected inhabitants there that have to be moved. There is a willingness to move. I think what's important is what's also been demonstrated here today, that there is a serious discussion and commitment around resolving this issue. That goes a long way in terms of ensuring that there is acceptance around a phased approach. First the temporary or interim, as I want to call it, interim solution, and then moving to the long-term solution. So there has been that engagement. There is a willingness to move from those 900 settlements that is there to Stock Road, and I think this will further assist in terms of showing the commitment around getting to the long-term solution. I just want to end off, Chair, because I think it is critical that as soon as we can move with this thing, with getting that rehabilitation work open, it starts opening up the rail network to 40% of that rail passenger usage that we've had before, which is currently not having access to rail. And that's a huge number that we need to unlock. Yeah, thank you, Chair.
Okay. let me find Minister. Any other issues we will have, we'll raise with the DM because he's here. All right. I think let us then excuse the Minister of Transport, CEO, and the Chairperson. Board members remaining with the executives, so they are here, and yeah, so we're fine. All right, because colleagues, what I don't want us to do is to have a makeshift facilitation of the dispute. Because the dispute is formally there. And I was saying earlier on that we have a dispute of the dispute. At a quick glance of what the mayor's response is now to the issues that the minister has raised with the Minister of Culture. And I don't think that here now we can be able to resolve or interact with that dispute and the merits and its demerits without having had afforded the Minister of Culture now an opportunity to respond to both sides of the issues that have been raised. So whilst there is this very noble commitment and the assessment that will be taking place in the next 2 to 3 weeks to facilitate the movement of the plus minus 900 households to open up about 40% or access of 40% what remains undisputed is that there's a dispute. And there's a serious consideration that must be applied to that. So I do believe we need to approach this matter with a particular sense of caution, because my assessment is that this is going to be a revolving door for quite a while. On the basis that 61 million rands remains with the City of Cape Town for the purposes of the provision of services, the question becomes, until when? Is it 50 million that remains? 61, yes. Right, so for others, right? So there's that 61 million, until when? Right? The mayor speaks about litigation and projections of 5 years if the litigation is prolonged. Does the Department of Human Settlements continue making provision of funds for these services until that matter is resolved? So the key question of timelines here is critical, because it's got financial implications. Because who foots the bill? So this issue of the dispute becomes fundamental, because it will provide clarity in terms of where the matter in its holistic nature goes and how it goes there. So yes, Begela is, and I really hope that there is a concrete commitment to Begela, notwithstanding that it's an intervention or a measure out of frustration, as has already been indicated. But for the one stream of opening up the railway line and ensuring that there's a semblance of certainty for the people, that from moving there, the Begela intervention is clarified for them. But what I don't see is that it does not respond to the dispute. So that's what I'm really wanting to for us to consider here. Which we can have a discussion, we can, you know, engage the issues, but I don't think that we will be doing justice, because for me a dispute is a major thing, it's a major action step, and one I believe that is not taken lightly. So I just wanted to, which as we proceed, and if we proceed, there's a heightened realization that we will be engaging with stakeholders who are engaged now in a dispute. And the minister is very clear about what type of mediation she's looking at, because I think it's positive there that it's not a dispute to walk away, but to mediate, right? And she wants experts in certain fields to deal with these issues. So in one way or the other, the ball is now with the Minister of COGTA, who's not here. So it does place us in a particular dilemma. I'm not sure where any response that we get now, I'm not sure to where it takes us. Unless by sheer scope of intervention, there will be some sort of saying, no, the dispute is withdrawn, and there's a commitment to the implementation protocol which was signed, and everybody to adhere to the action steps and the functions that were delineated to each department, right? But there's a dispute. I'm just trying to say, after all is said and done, we are settled with a dispute which the mayor does not agree with. Honorable List and then Honorable Son. Okay, let's go down in the line, Honourable Leesman, and then we'll go to Saul.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think it's important that we recognise that there are two parallel issues here. The one is Operation Pekela, which my understanding is that all role players have accepted will now proceed. It's a temporary, interim, whatever measure you want to call, but all role players have agreed it will proceed. And this dispute is something that can run parallel. It's not the same issue. It doesn't, one should not be affecting the other. And so the dispute, I would urge the parties to the dispute to find a quick solution there, because in the long term, as we've heard, the people who are being asked to move need a permanent home. We all want a permanent home. We want a place that we can call our own and we can live there in peace as we are able to find employment and build our families. So, Mr. Chairman, I think it's really important that there are two processes here. The Begala process, my understanding, full agreement about from all parties, and they will do their utmost to make it happen as quickly as possible, including a minor, or not a minor, but a kind of assessment, geotech or whatever, to make sure the land is acceptable and people aren't going to be flooded at the next rain, but generally everyone's in acceptance. The dispute is about a permanent long-term solution, and that unfortunately has to run its course unless there can be some meeting of minds there. And I would urge the parties involved to find a meeting of minds there so that we can give the people being moved, relocated, some sort of hope for the future. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Mente, and then Honourable Somio. Oh, I've noted you, Minister. I'll come to you. Honourable Mente.
No. Thank you, Chair. Chair, with the appreciation of the kind of innovation from CASA and finding an interim measure in ensuring that they meet their mandate, there is a noise there at the door. They meet their mandate of rehabilitating the railway line and having all those measures that they have come up with. And at the risk of bringing history, but I have to do this, we're dealing with people that have been hurt many a time. And us sitting here, it's easy for us to resolve things by throwing words and papers to and from. But it's difficult for the people who are sitting there not knowing their future. And if we're going to be part and parcel of saying they must still sit there not knowing their future, it will be wrong for us. And we cannot sit here and look like we're defeated in the processes we own. It's the law that we have drafted and passed in Parliament that is in our disposal to be used. If this situation was a situation of burned houses, if people had no homes, what was going to happen? Why do we now feel like or look like we don't have any alternative all of a sudden? What was going to happen if those people were flooded and not having homes? What are the measures that are being utilized in those instances? This is a similar situation, but it's an unfortunate thing that because it's happening to the people that have been segregated and their special planning has pushed them there, so that doesn't affect a person who is in a privileged position. That is why now it's being dragged to and from, and it's a matter of you, Prasa, did this, you, this one did that. It's not our role to do that. Our role is to come here and hear what is a plan of action. And we should not allow people to be arrogant about it. We should not, Chairperson. The Minister of Human Settlement says she has a dispute. That's fine. That's within her mechanisms and whatever resolution mechanism she wants to use. But at the very same time, we use emergencies in all cases. And if ever this has to be implemented in such a manner, so be it. But we can't sit here and not hear. As I'm sitting here, I'm not hearing what is it that's going to be done for the people. There's no solution. I don't know what we're agreeing on. There is no solution as we're seated here. Money has been retained. There is no one who is taking up a responsibility to say, I'm the one who's going to purchase the land. The Minister of Public Works says, I will avail land. Okay, can we hear? Is the land going to be availed from Public Works? And then the minister is going to send the money where it's going to go to. If it means that the money must go via the city of Cape Town, then the priorities of city of Cape Town, they still sit the same way, where the money must be availed wherever, Eskom and all those people. If there is money available for people on the railway line near to you, and there is land available, why are you not implementing? I'm not hearing the real reason. Budget is here. Land is here. Your job is to implement. Why would you not do that? Why would not that not happen? I want to hear a project that's going to happen. When is it going to happen? Who's going to avail it? Who's going to fund it? And who's going to deal with all the matters of rezoning and whatever that must be done on the land? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, just please note the questions, Honourable Samuel.
But thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. What is clear to me is that, one, the Department of Human Settlement has its own responsibility. That responsibility is tied to the provision of human settlements, housing. And the city of Cape Town has a responsibility in terms of its own planning environment and the actual provision of services for those communities that are going to be settled. So there must be a plan to do so. As I hear the minister is saying, when I received a business plan, there was no clear intent on the inclusion of the people who are settled in the rail line. And that has been confirmed by the mayor, that the return of the amount is based on the fact that, one, it could not be used or utilized within the timelines in terms of the fiscus, two, that the land purchases are not in the purview of the city of Cape Town and the office of the mayor. The dispute then exists within that frame, where there ought to be a resolution which is going to bring the parties together. The intention of the ministry would have been based on the fact that the agency which it is under the executive of a human settlements, HTA, could be an arm utilized for such a function. And if therefore the city can't perform that task, it could be done through a vehicle which is availed by government, which is the HTA. But the only problem is that money can't be provided to the HTA by the ministry. It ought to go via the city. And the intention thereof is that the city should bring those communities into the plan of the city in terms of that settlement. So the dispute where it stands currently, the ministry can provide for those communities as long they are outside the planning of the city. And that matter ought to be somewhat resolved. But within the protocol, the parties are moving together in terms of planning regulations with regard to rezoning, and if such land parcels have been gained, to deal with those kinds of aspects within that kind of a frame. So our plea, and my plea where I'm sitting, would be that such process should not be hindered by the fact that I think I would support Honorable Lees when he says such processes should not be hindered by that fact. But it is within the ministry to get closer with the city, and therefore they would have a better way to allow mediation processes so they should find one another. Even if there's no mediation, there they are, they're sitting closer to each other as we speak. They can somewhat agree before they get out of that door that no, man, it's not necessary as an appointment, and next week we can sit down and resolve this matter and begin to deal with these issues as they are within our own ability as leaders of various platforms. That as well is somewhat allowed. There's no fight. I don't think there's a fight on the matter. So where I'm sitting is that even that, if there's that kind of an opportunity, they could as well find themselves within such a platform. So the plea I have now, the AGA has outlined the process through a permanent solution. That process should be allowed to continue as that's starting to resolve matters which are somewhat blurry in as far as the substantive agreement on this matter between the department and the city. We serve the same government, a part of the state, and I see this as a respect of the two spheres of government by the fact that there's no one who wants to pull each other to courts, so choose the route which is much more of a reconciliatory, to try to find one another in the interest of our own communities, for them to find their lasting place in as far as their settlement is concerned. So my plea is clear. Quicker as you could move, the better. And the way which has been outlined currently, it should not be hindered by the fact that there is that sort of a dispute. And National Treasury should be persuaded to reallocate the monies in terms of the rollover as part of that process. So that process should be allowed to somewhat continue. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Hatebe.
Thank you, Chair. If Benson Kitin knows that we chair your own, and there's no need for me to speak. Chair, I must emphasize that we are delighted with the fact that we have dealt with the issue of temporal relocation, and all the necessary requirements in terms of the law will be dealt with to ensure that people move into a safer place. What we need now is the commitment that we're going to work within the confines of the law and pay your mandate in your sphere of government, City of Cape Town, to ensure that you find a long-term solution. That's the commitment we want. We have signed the implementation protocol. We are signatories. We've got roles and responsibilities in that implementation protocol to achieve the long-term solution. Please commit to that plan. We don't care. Mandela once said, we don't care whether the cat is black or white, as long as it catches the mice. So all the nitty-gritties and the red tapes, you've got the red tape reduction unit, City of Cape Town and Western Cape, please apply that where it's applicable to ensure that we expedite the process of ultimately getting the long-term plan. We have said, Chair, in our last meeting, HDA must present to us today an implementation plan with milestone projections. We have not seen that. we want to get a sense and understanding what happened to that plan, because that plan would have given an indication whether or not I've seen some of the dates they speak about 2025. Fortunately, some of us might not be here at the time. But what is key and critical is that there has to be a commitment. Whoever comes after and take over must continue the process that has been started and the fertile ground has been laid. There is a rezoning application that was forwarded on the 7th of August. Is that the rezoning for only phase one, the land of Langa only? So we need to know Makasa. When are you going to apply for rezoning there? These are the answers that we want. We don't want excuses of not working. We are not saying don't have a dispute mechanism, but ultimately one ought to come out of this meeting with a sense and an indication that you are still committed to finding a long-term solution. I'm going to pose this question to both the mayor and the my honorable minister. Are we still committed to finding the long-term solution in confines of the law as per our mandate and responsibilities in terms of the implementation protocol? There's a Makasa land that is in question. Are you working towards achieving the desired outcome in ensuring that that land, the money that was allocated, gets used to purchase that land? The negotiations are going to be concluded within no time, and the application can be forwarded so that we start the process. I don't hear that we are told that there's nothing that can be done with Makasa until there is commitment of funding, cannot even apply for rezoning. I'm still interested, Honorable Mayor, to understand what does the 90 days entail. The 90 days for the rezoning application.
9 months. 9 months. 90
oh, 9 months.
Days.
Sorry. Yeah, but there's 9.
So,
9 months. Please break it down to us. What does this 9 months entail? Can we reduce other activities? Is it necessary to have a public participation process for 3 months? What are the pros and cons in reduction of certain activities within that 9 month period? Because sitting here agreeing on something, going back home, it's different from those communities. And I'm glad that some of the leaders of Philip, Nyanga, Kailisha are behind me. These are the people that are confronted on daily basis with the victims of the shooting that took place. People have lost life, Honorable Mayor. Others are living with bullets in their body parts. So we can't play politics on this matter. We can't play politics on this matter. We can't be seen as if we don't have a sense of agency. I'm not hearing any report in relation to declaring the Krasa line as an emergency. We have given you an undertaking to go back and revisit whether or not it's possible to do so. We have not had any feedback in that relation, whether or not you have finally omitted the option of declaring this matter. There is an outstanding court order on the 27th of November. What will happen if the situation is not resolved at that time? Is the city of Cape Town still adamant that this does not warrant an emergency? And why? Have you done everything possible within your powers to ensure that you consider declaring this as an emergency? People are yearning for a better life. We can't be told about laws and regulations that we are the custodian of. If the political will is there, I've been a councillor for almost 10 years. We have taken decision in council. We know how to circumvent others within the confines of the law. Ultimately, we've got an administrative and a legislative authority as council. These are our bylaws. It's not 10 commandments. It's not cast in stone. Thou shalt not steal. There's nothing you can do about that 10 commandment. You can't change it. But your bylaws, policies, you can if there's a political will. But I have not seen that sense and agency in ensuring that the plight of people of Philippi, the plight of people of Khayelitsha is attended to. Thank you, Chair.
It's Honorable Van Minden.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I wanted to discuss the dispute, which I'm afraid I do regard as rather synthesized, but I respect what you were saying, so I won't. What I want to address is the issue of the emergency. Now, I know we've taken the documents as read, and having read them as well as the original protocol, the City of Cape Town is certainly the one party in this room who is following the lane that was ascribed to them and that is doing what they are supposed to do. The fact is that government is also bound by regulation and legislation, and I think the city has explained very clearly why it is following the path that it is following, and that we're not simply going to be having a free-for-all based on the fact that it might be currently considered an idea that needs to be pushed. I think we saw the same thing happening with the taxi strike a couple of weeks ago, where the Honourable Minister also unfortunately made some populist comments that we have seen subsequently were completely inaccurate. Now, in terms of this particular situation, we can't divorce cause and effect. The cause of this is PRASA. The fact is that in October 2019, to use terminology used by the Minister for Human Settlements, you know, everybody woke up to find that there was or that there were people living on the line in Philippi. That is 4 years ago. If one wants to discuss why nothing has happened for 4 years, there is a great deal that can be unpacked. If one wants to discuss why people are being forced to pay exorbitant rates, taxi fees, to get to the City of Cape Town, I'm afraid the basis of that is PRASA. Why are they not able to actually travel by train at affordable cost? Well, I'm afraid, again, that is PRASA. I really am battling to understand why the inaction and moribundness of PRASA for 4 years is now seen to constitute an emergency. So, you know, we're really sitting in a situation where the City of Cape Town has got an enormous claim from people needing settlement, needing housing, people in floods, people in Sanral land, people living under wires, people who really do qualify for emergency housing going forward. So why a created situation by an agency that wasn't able to protect its own assets, and we certainly have no guarantee that they'll protect their assets going forward. You merely need to look at the status stations to understand that. So my question really is, why is this considered an emergency? In terms of the law, does it comply with emergency housing requirements, which I suspect it does not? And essentially, why are we sitting in a situation where there are agreements, there are plans, those are very clear, we saw them in the reports we have, there is a protocol laying out everybody's actions and what they're supposed to be doing, so why are we now sitting in a situation where people are, quite frankly, trying to synthesize an emergency in order to move something forward that has already been there for 4 years and caused by the inaction of the agency concerned? Thank you.
Okay. I think, all right, let's get the final comment.
Chairperson, greetings and greetings to the meeting. Chair, mine is very simple and it's a matter of interest. I'm gathering from the information that is presented to us by different departments, including the previous speakers. We are hearing delaying tactics from departments, more specifically from the City of Cape Town, which is throwing excuses, including returning back monies to the department that is aimed at acquiring land, and that they don't have land while they've got pockets of land in the City of Cape Town. What I want to know, Chairperson, is the issue of the, was there no feasibility study that was done in this whole project in terms of time frames? Because in each project, you need to have turnaround times where you need to complete the project. But by look of things here, it doesn't seem like there is such a document. And that should have taken the issues of rezoning that the mayor of the city of Cape Town was talking about, acquisition of land and all of those things. But none of that is happening, and those people are suffering out there. So what I want to know is what is really happening, because it looks like these departments are working in a silos. No one is talking to each other. No one understands their responsibility. No one knows nothing. So what I want to know, what is really happening, as the previous speakers have mentioned, are we going to sit in this meeting for the next 20 years talking about litigation issues, talking about what is happening, delays and all of that? When are we going to complete this project? That's what I want to know, Chair. Thank you.
Right. Just two things. The implementation protocol calls for the establishment of the steering committee. When last did the steering committee meet? When did it meet? What were its decisions? Because when we last met, we raised this issue of silos. That whilst everybody has got a responsibility and a function designated to them, ultimately, by virtue of the implementation protocol, you are expected to work as a team. And this becomes material in the context of the dispute. How does a dispute arise when a steering committee is supposed to be in place? So for me, that becomes critical. So the functionality of the steering committee is important because it forms the basis of commitment. Because ours is to hold you committed to your own commitments. We have made no determination as to where people must go. You said you'll find the land and all those other things. These are your things. In response to an eventuality that is undesirable on many fronts. So, the functionality of the steering committee. Because then it begs the question, why are we here? Because we are not the ones who must convene you. It's not us. But it came to this because there was a vacuum in cooperation. And the assumption is that when we last met was that you were going to meet, get your ducks in a row, and begin cooperating. Now, here we are, almost 6 weeks later, and as far as I see it, you are still in silos. That's point number one. The second point is, and Honorable Liz explains this better than I did, it's two processes at play. And there's commitment that Begela will run its course, albeit the question that it becomes open-ended in the absence of the second process being adhered to. Because Begela must not become must not be entrenched as a long-term reality because of an inability to finalize matters on the other process. Because that's the risk. Begela will become a coping mechanism if you do not resolve the matters which are for the long-term relocation of persons on the railway. So from whatever vantage point, Bela must approach it with a caution, which, yes, it must happen. But it can't be open-ended. Because there's that song, Yabantabash, Omunye Pesgo Omunye Vibes. Something else will arise, and then focus will move. Let's now go and resolve that issue. Then another, and forget that there is a protocol in place signed for the purposes of a resolution to this matter. So where I'm going with this, Minister, your issues and reservations notwithstanding, is it not possible to withdraw or suspend the dispute and allow for a far more cooperative kind of intervention of discussions amongst yourselves? Because the dispute adds another layer to an already convoluted situation. And then if that doesn't work, then of course proceed. Because I'm just seeing now you're drawing in another party to this matter. Can this not be resolved by the steering committee which signed the implementation protocol, or has it failed to do so? If I'm just putting it to you so that then we can go to the Minister of COGTA for a quickened intervention in response to the dispute. All I'm saying is that talk to each other, not past each other, unless there is the impasse has just reached, you know, a point where you know, because what will happen now is that we're going to engage in legal gymnastics of the interpretation of Section 41(2) of the IHR Act, and then that becomes another court process, and then that, and then that, and the problem remains unresolved, because I'm sure the minister has got an opinion on the dispute and can back it up with legalities. The mayor is responding and can back it up with his legality. So then we end up in a IGRA 101, you know, and the problem remains. So we are really, if the sense that it's cooperative government, then I think it must be demonstrated that it's there. So it's just those two things. For the purposes of movement and progress, because you're placing the Minister of Finance in another difficult position. How long must this rollover be sustained in the midst of competing national priorities, if it is to arise? You know, so the longer this plays out, the more complicated it becomes. Because if that Begela situation, it will end up inviting more people to settle at the Begela sites because services are being provided there. And then they will now add a layer of people who must be relocated on top of the ones being relocated. So procrastination and delays does not serve anybody well in this case. Right, let's hand over to, we'll start with the minister and we'll go down in a sequence up until we get to Deputy Minister Umand.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let me start firstly with the issue that you just concluded. The city did not request a rollover of the 50 million. The city surrendered the money back. So it's back. It's not a rollover. If it was a rollover, it would have been something else. The request was not for rollover. They surrendered the money back to the National Treasury. And I will come also to the issue that you have raised about the steering committee not being. For us to be able to implement what we are requested to do on the basis of that protocol in a legal way, we need the city to come on board. When we had a discussion with the city on the issue of HDA's role, for example, in the meeting we proposed that can the city then take the money, the 50 million, transfer it to HDA in concurrence with Woodside, the concurrence from Assad, so that HDA can implement and can purchase land. the city did not agree. This, Chair, I'm saying because in terms of the law and what National Treasury has said to us is that they cannot transfer money directly from us or what is allocated in terms of the municipalities. So the money that we have availed is part of the division of revenue and equitable share in terms of the municipalities. So it's what is allocated within the municipal equitable share. Would have taken it from other non-performing municipalities, metros, and that's why we send it to the city of Cape Town and ring-fenced it to this particular project. So the money can then move to either a provincial level or a national level because it alters the equitable share. I hope I'm clarifying the process. So money of projects don't come to the Department of Human Settlements. It's within DORA in the Act and allocated either in provinces or municipalities. So that's what the quagmire we have is at. The mayor said in this meeting, the city is not prepared to purchase land for this particular project. They are prepared to do a responsibility of regulator. And that's where the problem is. I have no tool currently to utilize and to respond to that, what you are asking me to utilize, hence declaring the dispute. Because my tool is through the municipality that I have exercised, that the city have rejected and not cooperated with us. That's what I'm trying to explain, Chair. So has the steering committee not discussed this? It was discussed. When I got the report from my acting director general following the meeting, I convened a meeting with the mayor. It was a virtual meeting between our teams and his team. It was in that meeting that the mayor was explicitly clear that they will not, it was even before they surrendered the money, because I was still trying to preserve the money, not to be lost. Once it's in the pool, you know what happens. It's gone. So as we see it, there are no available funds for the project from our side because that money has been surrendered. I have to go through another process to be able to get that money again, which is the process of National Treasury. So when we had the meeting with the mayor, was for me to try and preserve the funds. They have applied for rollover of the other 61 million so that they can be able to utilize the money for services, and that's including temporary services in the current situation. But for the 50 million on land purchase, they surrendered it. The letter was clear. National Treasury has confirmed receiving the money in their account. So I thought, let me just start there, Chair. If indeed is agreed, I didn't go to Minister of COCTA out of willingness or non-cooperative. When you realize that you are not making progress, you try avenues. National Treasury says, we will not give you directly money to HDA to implement this. You do not have the monies within the grant framework because it's allocated based on your grants. So the only option I have is to try and find a mechanism of bringing the city closer to where I'm sitting, to say, we've got to purchase the land. And because it's an informal settlement, it's provided in terms of the grants. National Treasury says to me, there's no other way, you have to do it through your grants. I have the city in terms of the grants that they've got to. And as I said previously, Chair, they've said they've got their pressures, they've got their commitments, we've agreed, and that's why we made available of the money. And that's why the dispute. And that, can it run parallel? Yes, it can run. If the city agrees today to say no, we'll assist you. The dispute falls off the table. If they agree today to say, Minister, we understand that there is no other tool you have except through the grant system for you to be able to purchase that land, the dispute will fall off the table, Chair. That's where the issue is. Without that agreement, I have to proceed this way because there's no other mechanism for me to intervene. I will remain willing, and it will be theory, nothing practical, because we still have to comply. And nothing can do whether it's an action plan from HTA or PRASA, as long as there's no money allocation, that action plan is on paper, can be implementable. So that's why we need to resolve the issue of the land. And that's why the issue of application of the land, if you make the application to the city, you must show the available thing. You can't go and ask for rezoning of a land that you do not own. So you must go purchase the land first and come and ask for rezoning. So the Makasa land is not yet purchased, so it can be application for rezoning because it's not yet in the hands of where we are. So that's why I thought I should be able to assist in terms of understanding where we are, Chair, just closing your issues. Coming to my apologies, Honourable Member, I'm trying, others I know, in terms of that I was trying to get your name, I couldn't hear what Chair was saying.
Honourable Makamba.
Makamba, okay, thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Makamba, the issues you raised, for example, we understand the plight of the people, and that's what we are trying to work together. It's not working in isolation, and that's why I said, while other temporary solutions in what Bekela is doing, and we have the obligation to ensure that everything is compliant with the law, we've got to be able to find the solutions and be able to speak in one voice. But the where there's a difference is this area, where how do we intervene? How do you purchase the land that is suitable? But you need to do the due studies, you need to apply for the rezoning, you need to provide for services. The law allows us, or the policies allows us, to provide temporary solutions. So it's within the informal settlement upgrading, because we do phases. So what we have done, the minister has put in policy and directive to say, even if an informal settlement is not yet formalized, because we understand the need for human rights services, we provide those temporary services. When we engaged, that's why we could provide for the 16 informal settlements, because when we went there, we found that the people did not have services. Then we provided. And part of what we do, we also have standardized regulation to say, in terms of the households, even if they share this temporary, to give them dignity, we say it's 1 to 5. And then we also try and check that. So part of why we had to provide more money to the city was that even when we realized that there was no compliance with that, we find that 15 families were sharing one toilet. And the issue was that, and then we made available, when I met with the informal settlements, the 16 informal settlements in Khayelitsha, then we agreed that we'll make available money. So that is what we do. And then the city have incorporated that temporary service into the 61 million, that into the rail temporary solution. So we are committed from human settlements for ensuring that we respond. It's our obligation for all services in terms of human settlements. And that's why we have to consistently ensure that they are within the policy and within what we do. Honourable Van Meylen raised the issue of the issues around PRASA and all those things. And from my side, I think, and also Chair, there's been acknowledgement of past mistakes. We can't want to continue and dwell with that. We've got to find solutions now. PRASA says to us, and the Minister is committed, that Operation Bekela assists them to get the PRASA rail working, which is good news. We have to support them in that so that we can reduce the burden on households. In terms of the work, and I'm committed as Minister of Human Settlements to do that. Just to give you, Honourable Van Meylen, in terms of emergency housing, it's the Minister of Human Settlements that determines the emergency. I have issued a directive which has been ignored by the city. There's no other. So we do not work in the context of what you have in disaster management. We have, that's why we are able to intervene, because if we were working in the manner that disaster management, for example, when the checks burn and there are less than 1,000, we would not be able to intervene. Recognizing that human settlements is a unique environment and its challenges and our response have to be agile and also to understand the concerns, especially the plight of the most vulnerable, as per the constitutional mandate for us to provide shelter for the vulnerable. And that's why we did the policy to say the Minister of Human Settlement will determine emergency areas in terms of human settlement, and that has been. What I have raised with the team, and which I was trying to understand, is that the team should have gone to the city, applied the land, and utilized Section 68, which then provides and obligates the city to process the application differently and faster. Honorable Mende asked, how do we intervene in other municipalities or where there are disasters? We utilize this, but what is different is that unique, and how we've always been, is that you need the city. We've never had a case where either the province or the municipality does not cooperate with what we determine. This is the first time. So we would have gone to Etewini. We had the floods there. There's a crisis, and then we say, this is how we're going to work in this cooperation. Minister determined the emergency, and we're doing the same in City of Johannesburg. So that's where the difference is. And perhaps even, just to say to all honorable members, as we deal with this, hence even the issue of alternating to try and look at mediation and dispute, is because it's the first time we have this type of a situation where there isn't collaboration and cooperating, and we are not finding each other on what needs to be done. So that's what we're trying to explain. So I thought I can clarify the issue of emergency in terms of housing. It's very clear in terms of law. It's the Minister of Human Settlements that determines that. Honorable Mente, you raised the issue of what becomes the long term, and I think I've responded how we deal with the floods, and that it's the minister, or any emergency, the minister who determines in terms of priority and the intervention. You're saying that you're not hearing our plans and I've lodged a dispute. It's because for me to be able to implement what HDA is doing, because that's the entity of human settlements, to be able to be the implementing agent, I need a vehicle to drive the funds and spending of the funds. And without the collaboration and cooperation of the department, the city, I'm not able to do that. So it is clear in terms of where we are, what we need to do. If we are able to agree and the city comes on board in terms of the purchase of land, or whether we agree, we get, we go and again go back to National Treasury in terms of the discussion for reallocation of the funds, because they are gone now. Reallocation of the funds, then we'll need an agreement that the funds will be transferred into HDA through the city, because I have no other tool. And therefore that then they become the process that moves in terms of implementation. Secondly, is for the city to include the PRASA line into their business plan. That will be your assurance of the implementation of a long term. As long as this project is not in the business plan, it means that you cannot be assured that anything is going to happen. And that's why I have signed a conditionality of the approval, which they must comply with, because it's the law. They must comply with that, that their business plan of ISUPG is not fully approved, and therefore they still have to do with this. So that is within. And the dispute mechanism is part in part to try and assist, because Minister of COGTA is responsible for the functioning of municipalities, so, and also intervene in that regard. We will have to explain to her why municipality, Metro City of Cape Town, why it's not performing its duty or whatever, that their business plans and their funds are not released. Because once they do not comply, we will withhold the funds, the other tranches, because we transfer. We have that power, but we've got to follow the process in terms of that. So we will not want to start by withholding without following the process. But we would want as well, in understanding the plight of the people of City of Cape Town, that let's try and avert a situation whereby we withhold the fact. While we're working, let's intervene to find a solution to this problem. As I said, I'm not hardline in terms of this. I am just trying to find my options as a minister to be able to provide a service to those communities that are waiting to say, please provide us with a solution. And that's what I'm trying to find, because I can't go to communities and say, I'm helpless. There are tools, there are powers that I must exercise, but I'm required to follow process in those powers, in those tools that I have. And that's what I'm doing currently. I hope that does explain in what we're doing and also how we're trying to do the work. Honorable Liz, I agree with you. How you described the issue is correct. The Bekela, what was just missing is an assessment. We've closed that gap. We agree fully as human settlements that work and for the browser line to work. The dispute is linked to the work that has to be done. If you look at the presentation, it talks about ISUP allocations. Those ISUP allocations in terms of the allocation of budgets, in terms of the long term, has to come through from the city. We do not have that agreement. So the presentation has gaps, and that's what we're trying to close. So the dispute is to try and resolve the long-term issues that we have. And I agree with Honorable Somio on the issues that he has raised, quite good characterization of what we have said and what we want to do, Chairperson, in terms of responding to this. Look, we would want an Honorable, I think Honorable Hadebe raised issues. I think I've confirmed that the money has been, the 50 million has been surrendered to the revenue, so we'll not be able to. So the ATA implementation plan is in shaky ground because its confirmation, its certainty, is on the basis of availability of funds. Honorable Somio and Honorable, I think you raised the similar issues. So you are saying to us, you don't want excuses. We are not providing excuses. We are saying to you, this is where the problem is as human settlement. This is what we are trying to do. We are trying to solve that problem so that we are not sitting here talking 3 years down the line. That's the process that we are doing. The land is not purchased at Makasa. There was an issue about a lab, land close to lab. I want to caution. That lab, Ichemba lab. Ichemba lab is a science field. It's a science area. So they do quite high experiments. I doubt the land, knowing, having been Minister of Science and Technology, knowing what happens there, I don't think we'll be allowed to expose communities to sit around there. It's both in terms of security, but the safety in terms of health, because the experiments that happens there can be done. So that land must be closed, can be utilized. So the Makasa land as well to buy and all that, we need that money. And that's why there isn't anything in the pipeline that we are talking about. And that's what we are trying to. And I spoke to the issue. We had some money that was in the reserve based on the HDA having some money. And they've spent it. Now we've got to answer to Auditor General. We've got to answer to National Treasury. You spend money that you were not supposed to spend on that. And these are the things that sometimes, Chair, you find yourself in trouble trying to help in the process. But this long-term certainty is important for the HDA so that we don't have audit issues later where we end up here with irregular expenditures and all those things. So that's what we are trying to regularize while we're resolving the problem and intervening. So that's where we are, Chair, in terms of the issue. I think just concluding, what has been asked, I hope I'm explaining the rationale of the dispute, Chair. And I've committed to the committee, if I get the agreements here, that there will be cooperation in purchase of land and transfer of money, because I do not have another tool to do it. The issue of dispute is when the city refuses to recognize the powers of the minister in determining the priorities of human settlements in the country. That's the dispute. Because these are powers of the minister. And I have said that the city, let's allocate funds and determine this as a priority for us to intervene. And they consistently refuse. It's not that the city check does not purchase land. The city, in terms of informal settlement upgrading grant, in terms of the urban development grant, they do. So it's not like it has never happened where the city purchases land and also becomes the regulator. Currently happening, not only City of Cape Town, everywhere else. Otherwise, we will not be having the informal settlement upgrading grant. It's just that they are refusing particularly on this one. And the question is why? Because we can't go on in terms of the issue of the BRASA is responsible. We've passed that stage. Why is the city refusing to purchase land when we are already saying we have made money available? That's the question we must ask. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minister. Mayor Hillous.
Thank you very much,
Chairperson. I'm also mindful, Mayor, that you also have an apology, so you will wrap up to the extent to which you have.
No problem. I've got quite a lot to cover now with lots of questions and new statements made by the Minister. Let me just find the beginning of my notes here. Okay, let me, I think, start with Honourable Mente. Honourable Mente says that she sees no solution here, Chairperson. Let me reassure her. I hope that we try to make it clear, all of those parties who are cooperating here, there is a solution, and we are implementing it. There's a solution that comes in two streams, or two tracks, since we're talking about the railway line. The first track is Bakela, which is designed to offer a temporary and immediate, shall we say, emergency solution that can allow the trains to get running as quickly as possible. It is a positive and constructive and proactive approach, and it is what we actually proposed to PRASA under the leadership of Mr. Matthews back then when I first came onto this issue after the elections in 21, and the then chairperson, Mr. Ramatlakane. We said, use the land that PRASA has available on either side of your rail reserve so that we can get this done quickly. That is happening, and that is track one, Honourable Mente. Track two is the rezoning application for the permanent relocation, which we have now received on the 7th of August. That is track two. That will take a lot longer for the reasons that we have detailed, but it is certainly happening, and that application is in. So there is a solution. Honourable Member, there's a solution in two tracks, and it is being implemented. There is good cooperation between all of these parties, and we are meeting regularly in the Steercom, and that work is undergoing. I agree with Honourable Somio about the city responsibility vis-a-vis the responsibility of the Department of Human Settlements. We have clear and separate delineated responsibilities in law and in the implementation protocol. And we are sticking to our end of the bargain in the implementation protocol. That's what we signed, and that's what everyone has signed up to, and the case I have made and the plea that I've made is that we stick to our lanes in that implementation protocol. Just to be absolutely clear, we did not return the 50 million because we couldn't spend it. We returned the 50 million because it was earmarked in the minister's letter for land purchase, and we are not doing land purchase for this project. We are using the 61 million for services and have already committed it contractually, and that is underway. But we returned the 50 million because it was earmarked for land purchase. It is not true that the money has to go via the city. And I must just correct this misstatement. It is not true that the money has to go via the city. The HDA has already bought the first piece of land in Philippi. It's bought it itself. The application that is in with the city now is on a piece of land, agriculturally zoned land. I'll make a flag there. I need to come back to that. The application that has been received by the city is on land that has been purchased by the HDA. It's already been done. A few years ago, you will remember the minister was in dispute, another dispute on that occasion with the SABC around the purchase of the SABC building in Sea Point, a very prime piece of land in the city. Sadly, since that piece of land has been bought by the HDA, we have not yet seen any movement towards development there. Nevertheless, that building, one of the most expensive properties in Cape Town, was bought by the HDA, not by the city, not by money transferred by the minister to the city to pay to someone else, by the HDA directly. So it is not true to say that the HDA can't buy land for this purpose. In fact, that's why the IP, the implementation protocol, says it's the job of the HDA to acquire land. So when the IP was signed all that time ago, it was signed with the understanding that the HDA would buy the land. That's why it's in there. And that's why the city is not responsible for it in the IP. Again, we must stick to the IP. Please look at clause 9.3. So that when the minister says we're in breach of the IP because we won't buy land, that is factually false. And we are not bound to buy the land in terms of the IP. Honourable Hadebe, let's just go through the timeline quickly. I just want to draw everyone's attention, and please understand the sensitivities. You, I'm very pleased to hear, come from local government, so you will have an understanding of this. I get sued at least once a week, Honourable Member, on a planning decision that the city takes, where a ratepayers body, a private citizen, one individual, a civil society body challenges a planning decision that the city makes. Sometimes it's twice a week. And sometimes those cases take years. You know, you will have seen in the media, it got massive coverage. We've just now resolved the Amazon headquarters planning appeals after, I think they were in court for maybe 4 years. We finally settled before it got to the Concord, and the decisions of the city originally were upheld as correct. So our planning department has to be fastidious in terms of applying the planning legislation to the letter, because all it takes is one resident, Honourable Member, to lock this up in court for 5 years, and we will still be meeting here in 5 years' time, and we'll be talking about how we can try and get that resident to withdraw their court application. So, as I said, when the application comes in, we then switch our gear. We put on our hat as our planning regulator. We become the referee. At the moment, we are now the referee because the submission is in. The referee can't only have one arm. The referee has to be even-handed. And so we are going to apply the planning legislation to the letter. In fact, as I said to the Honourable Member earlier, I think there's actually a case to be made in this application to pursue extra public participation to make sure that no one can make the case about us later that we try to sideline the community and ignore their inputs. So, Chairperson, I can go through the detailed timeline of what's required for a rezoning. It's 16 legislative steps. I don't know if you wish me to do that now or okay. But the short answer, sir, is that there are 16 legislative steps, and here I want to just come back to the flag I made earlier. This land is zoned agriculture. The National Minister of Agriculture and the Provincial Minister of Agriculture have to sign off on an agricultural rezoning. I'm sure you will know that. So the 16 steps are inside the city, the planning legislation that applies to the city. We will then also have to do the agricultural permissions. Okay. I did say, you were referring to the commitments that we've made to the public on timeline. I take you back to the first meeting that I had with Mr. Ramaphosa and Mr. then Minister Mbalula and then CEO Mr. Matthews. And I said, my message to them was, you're going out into the public, and in fact they're going to the Cape High Court and making commitments which they know they cannot meet. They know they cannot meet. It's dishonest because there was no proper feasibility. I think Ms. Mente, Honourable Mente, raised this issue. There was no proper understanding of the actual process that one has to go through to get a piece of land rezoned, particularly a piece of agricultural land, and what that would take in terms of timeline. Then I move to Honourable Hadebe. Yes, then there were questions around the application of the emergency. I think the Minister spoke to that, and I'll come back to that a bit later. Honourable Van Minnen also dealt with the issue of emergency housing requirements. I'm going to come back to that later in response to the Minister's comments. Honourable Makamba says that there is lots of excuses going around. I would say, with respect, Honourable Member, that the application of the law is never an excuse. The application of the law is a requirement of all of us who are in public office in South Africa, and every citizen, actually. And as I've said, in those early meetings with PRASA, we made it very clear to them that what they were promising the court was not possible in law. and that they would miss those deadlines. And I don't think that those warnings were taken seriously at the time, but they certainly are being properly understood by the HDA and by PRASA now, albeit belatedly. Then I move to the chairman. Chairman asks when the steering committee last met. The last TIRCO meeting was on the 1st of August. It was, in fact, a meeting with the National Treasury in the meeting. They're not usual members, but they did come to this meeting to discuss funding mechanisms in particular. I personally received all of the minutes of the TIRCO meetings and have asked for those meetings to be recorded. We have an archive of every meeting and the minutes, and because precisely so that when there are allegations of non-cooperation made, we can prove the opposite. There is this perception created that we are not cooperating. I think that we are cooperating, in fact, very well with the TIRCO. All of the members who attend that, the HDA and PRASA, NDOT, we cooperate very, very well. And as I said, we have this two-track solution, which is, I think, making good progress. And I think if we can commit to the Bekela ambitions, we can actually see that central line running much, much sooner. But obviously this declaration of dispute comes from the left field. It's unexpected by us, and we believe ideologically perhaps, yes. Although you are sitting on my right today. It is from left field, it is unexpected and we believe unnecessary. As I said, we have an implementation protocol in place which everyone has signed, and we argue that we should just stick to that. And the IP makes it clear that the HDA needs to acquire the land. So we maintain still that there is no substantive dispute. We are sticking to our lane. Now I come to the comments made by the minister, which I think I must respond to. I've already said we sent the 50 million rand back to the National Treasury because it was earmarked for land acquisition, which we are not doing in terms of the implementation protocol. You do not need the city, or excuse me, through the chairperson, the minister does not need the city for land acquisition, as I have shown in other cases in the city, not even elsewhere in South Africa. In the city, you are already buying land and using the HDA and are already submitting planning applications on land purchased by the HDA, and I certainly hope that we get planning applications on the Sea Point property soon. And none of those transactions flow through the city, Mr. Chairman. There's also another tool that I need to remind honourable members of. I'm fortunate here to draw on my experience as a member of the Standing Committee on Finance. There's the Parliamentary Appropriation System. We are about to have an adjustment budget in just a month's time. It's very, very simple for the adjustments budget to make an appropriation for the purchase of land for the HDA. There is absolutely another tool. And in fact, that's probably the simplest tool. The National Treasury is now in possession of the money because it was returned by us. And so there's nothing stopping them from making an adjustments allocation under the normal parliamentary process for the HDA. And so again, it is not accurate for the minister to say that she has no other tool available to her. The minister then says that she issued a directive regarding the emergency. I'm afraid that directive does not comply with the law. The definition of an emergency in law is not something, as one of the honourable members made the point, that is 4 years old. It is also not something that is temporary in nature. The minister was asking us to apply Section 68, which is the section that applies to emergencies. But Section 68 requires that the relocation be temporary. Now here, in our meeting, we have heard several times today that this relocation that is now we have the zoning application for is the permanent solution. And we've had lots of calls to make sure that there is a permanent solution. So it would have been plainly unlawful to relocate those occupants on the central line under the pretense of it being a temporary relocation when we all full well knew that it would not be a temporary relocation. Again, that would have been immediately challenged, and we would have lost in court. We would have gone down in flames in court if that were the case. So when we insist on applying the law, Mr. Chairperson, that does not mean that we are being uncooperative. We are just applying the law. That's what we all should do in government. We have to apply the law. And when you do things in a willy-nilly fashion, you will find very quickly in government that you will lose. Every time you will lose in court if you do things in a willy-nilly fashion. You have to follow the law. In labor legislation, if you fire someone irregularly, you find that you lose in labor court. And I think the minister has recently experienced what that is like. So you have to do things in terms of the law. The point I'm making is that you have to do things in terms of the law.
All right.
I want to just deal with the business plan requirements. The minister knows, again, that the business plan requirements are that the project be implementation ready. We know that this project is not implementation ready in the current financial year, because at minimum we are dealing with a 9-month rezoning, at minimum. So we have, in our last Steerco meeting, we have said that by FY24, the project will be implementation ready, it will appear in our business plan. But it would have, the Minister has rightly referred to the Auditor General, the Minister would have shouted at us and upbraided us had we put something on our business plan and then not delivered it in that financial year. Then it would have reflected as an underperformance on our business plan. We are very proud of the fact, and the Minister of Human Settlements has just recently confirmed that once again we are the highest spending metro for, well, that's what the department
okay,
says.
Right.
Okay, so I'm wrapping up now, Chairperson, but I just want to...
I just want to
deal with the business plan, Chairperson. Oh, yes?
1 second. Should I separate the two of you?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Then there's your side commentaries, and I think okay, proceed, Mayor.
Yes, sir. I will also table the department's slide, the PowerPoint presentation, which shows us as the top spender. So let me just make clear, the project will appear in our business plan when it's ready for implementation. It is not ready for implementation because we have only just 2 weeks ago received the rezoning application. I think that brings me to the end of the comment that I want to make, but I just want to say the final comment was the minister asked why is it that we refuse to purchase the land. The answer to that is very simple, and if I haven't made it clear before, I wish to make it clear again. There is no place in Cape Town, Honourable Chairperson, where we have bought land for a state-owned entity to do a relocation program. I'm not sure, I can't speak without fear of contradiction, but I'm not sure that there's a single metro in South Africa that has gone and purchased land for a state-owned entity to do a relocation program of their own. We have got our own relocation programs, and many of them, sir, many of them. We have got wetlands that are illegally occupied. We have got services, servitudes, underground electricity cables that are illegally occupied. We have many occupations that we have to relocate over the course of the next few years. One of the biggest stress points in this role is to try and find land availability for all of those that we must do in our own purview. So it's just not on for us to be made to take on the responsibility to find land for the relocations of other state entities that have failed to protect their land. And it does, I'm afraid, go back to that central failure. The message that we must send to every government department, the minister has an enormous illegal occupation in Krobo that he has to try and deal with. If you fail to protect your property from illegal occupation, you have to deal with the consequences of that. You can't then turn to the nearest local government and say, please can you take over the responsibility of resolving this. That is not our role. We'll stick to our role in the implementation protocol. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Minister Zigalala.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. Just one
your mic, Mayor.
One or two issues, especially on what the mayor has said. It will be good for the committee, the SCOPA, to take an interest on whether all of these regulatory and compliance issues are implemented equally in all people and sectors. Because it is possible that others will be treated favorably and their own issues will be attended with speed, whilst the poor are not attended and their requests get prolonged through compliance regulatory. I'm saying so with facts. I can tell you it's a trend that in Western Cape, including Cape Town, issues of the poor communities will not be prioritized. We're seated with more than 30 forest villages, and maybe some of you know these forest villages and the conditions upon people live in these forest villages. We have made them available and want to transfer them to various municipalities. And the same approach will be used, as the mayor is demonstrating here. No, that's not. It will be up here in the subsequent years plan. It's not, we've got our own priorities, we've got our own way of doing things. So the life of people who are destitute doesn't matter to others. I can show you the list of forest villages that we have been engaging various municipalities, requesting to transfer them, and they would say, no, there's no bulk services, and we are not going to budget for that now. And it is historic. It's not, doesn't start now. And that's why the plight of the people here needs to be taken serious. And I must emphasize this point. It doesn't mean that it is only the Minister of Human Settlement who has declared dispute with the municipalities. Government have taken a decision that when municipalities are not implementing their mandate and are not cooperating with national departments, we will have to intervene and take over, irrespective of where is that municipality. And therefore, what is important is, are the services that goes to people than petty politics that preoccupies others. And I think we must be fair that for the mayor, the priority of the people who are living in railway is not there. Doesn't. For him, it can still be a year, and then 2024, and then he will come play politics and accuse everyone else. And I would want to be clear on that. It is not only these people who are talking about. It's thousands and thousands of people, including those I can show you the report of forest villages. So I think the committee must take an interest in knowing whether all of these processes are applied evenly on all sectors, everyone. And I think that will be important. Thanks, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much, Deputy Minister Mann. Guys.
I had proposed to sit between them, but Minister Zikalala thought that he could manage the turbulence. But I think the open-air turbulence proved otherwise.
Yeah.
But that was on a lighter note to diffuse that little bit of turbulence. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. Good morning. I think the ministers and the executive mayor have really spoken, and the Minister of Transport, before she left, I think, did make her last comments, which I think we still stand by as a department. I'm glad that the ministers and the mayor, I think a couple of speakers have confirmed the fact that, especially Chair, that what brought us here is not under dispute. And I think we note that. And we are excited, however, by the commitment of everybody, which we want to reemphasize, that Operation Bergela is moving on. with that intervention of a two-week, three-week assessment, such that we make sure that the lives are secured in whatever temporary fashion we are talking about. We are, however, also hopeful that the long-term solution will be found, because ultimately, if we do Operation Begela on its own, the CEO has said before he left, currently in Operation Begela, Chair, we are talking about 10 meters away from the rail line on either side. We are still leaving people there who are still in that. So the 891 people we are talking about to that piece of land do not include everybody who is on that rail reserve. So this problem is still with us. However, we are pleased that at least with the commitments here, we can move at least into another phase and be able to offer those services. The executive mayor has alluded to the issue of the meeting of the steering committee those dates, which I do confirm that indeed the steering committee has been meeting. And these meetings, I think there are two, if not three, that happened after SCOPA had raised their concern at the last meeting. So I do confirm what the mayor has said, that these meetings have happened. Whether they are producing what SCOPA wants or not is a different debate altogether. On that note, thank you very much, Chair and honorable members.
Okay, thank you very much. Concluding remarks, Mr. Kubaya's Oxford, and then we'll wrap it up. Colleagues.
No, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to quickly clarify the issue of the land purchase.
Good God.
Because...
it's not the minister. We should see now the chain reaction. All right.
Because it must be clarified, Chair.
Sure.
HDA utilized its reserves for the purchase of what we had to intervene. And that's why they are looking for reimbursement. No, Mayor. So that's where the problem is, Chair. Hence, we want the solution. We have gone to National Treasury. Not that we haven't gone. I do have a letter from National Treasury. We have engaged with National Treasury. And what we are doing is based on the engagement of National Treasury. I don't want you to come back tomorrow. You're going to ask me, where's the progress? There will be no progress. Because we have already received feedback from National Treasury on the matter. So that's why I'm flagging it. Now, hence we are appealing that the city come on board. They are saying clearly, and because if you look at the IP as well, Chair, it says the city will cooperate and facilitate for the purchasing of land. Will the city, the HDA will purchase, but the city has a responsibility to help facilitate. And that's our understanding of facilitation.
Of
the protocol. So that's why we were asking. And facilitation in our agreement and process is this one, Chair. Because I want it to be clear, when we come back, you ask us for progress. So that you're going to get irritated if this matter is not resolved. Because there will be no progress. We'll come back and speak English again. Because this matter is not cleared. And you think that indeed HDA is able to purchase. The C-Point building is for social and gap market, to close the special apartheid. It's not for informal settlement upgrading. And that's why I explained, Mayor must fire the people and follow me, who can't even explain the grant system in human settlements, because that advice is wrong. We cannot do it any other way, Chair. Equitable share, we alter with it. Treasury is refusing to alter the equitable share, because it's a budget that the minister said, this is what goes to the spheres, this is what goes to this, this is what goes to this. You are not number one, you are number three. Buffalo City run by government, number one.
Okay, all right. Okay, Mayor, no, we will exercise the alteram partem accordingly. Mayor?
Thank you. No, I just want to say, rather tongue-in-cheek, this is the first that I hear of the dispute with National Treasury, so maybe the Minister must declare a dispute with National Treasury to resolve the funding issue, because now she's having a fight with National Treasury and making it my problem. It's not my problem.
All right, colleagues, look, you know, I've sat here and I've listened. It reminds me many years ago of Indabethu, what. And I'm afraid that after all is said and done, the only other conclusion one can arrive at is that, to borrow your words, Mazambane, from outside, we are making progress backwards. The only positive that I can speak of is insofar as Bhekela is concerned, and that there is a commitment to Bhekela and an assessment in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Otherwise, I am seated here as the biblical Thomas, full of doubt, because I do not get a sense that beyond Bhekela, this movement. So, let's take Honorable Hadebe and Honorable Sonia.
Thank you, Chair. I think let's start here that initially there was an allocation of 50 million for a purchase of land, and that did not happen. So the money went back to National Treasury. So there is a willingness to avail funds for a purchase of land. But the issue now and the argument is whether that gets done by the city or HDA. HDA has done it somewhere. That purchase land. So I'm saying there is a willingness for land to be purchased. We are arguing about the modalities and who should do it. But there is case in point where HDA has purchased the land. We don't know where the funding is. You've just articulated, Madam Minister, that it was from the reserves and it's finished. But I'm saying initially there was a commitment to avail funding. Seeing that a city is playing politics and is adamant that they are not willing to move, can that commitment of that 50 million be transferred to HDA for the same purpose that ought to have been done by the city of Cape Town in order for HDA to purchase another piece of land to enable the long-term plan to kickstart? Because you are still offering to assist in the purchase of land, but your assistance, you want it to via through the HDA, to the city, to the HDA. Cut that stubborn aspect and make everything necessary or possible to get that money to HDA. Whatever process, legislative requirement that is needed, can we get that commitment that can be done? We can't be bogged down by the fear of government that is adamant to say they are not willing. I've said it before, when I was still a councillor, city has purchased lands. We were of the view that they must expropriate. There is capacity and legislative processes that enable the city to purchase land. But in this case, for their reasons, they are not willing to do so. Can we then find another solution for that land to be purchased? Thank you.
Honourable Somya, Honourable Mentor, stand by.
Yeah, Mr. Peter, the mayor is not here. It's a similar vote. Welcome, Honourable Mayor. You're fresh now, eh? Away from the minister for a while.
No, you have made here a very important point. I think the mayor has made a very important point, which I think we should carry it as a valuable point. The value is at the bottom manager here. He is saying, no problem, the land can be purchased for the line by the HDA. As the mayor, a voice. Minister, taking that voice, could you say, as we have met with SCOPA, in your own voice, committing that funds should be given to HDA, the mayor agrees that HDA should purchase the land, transfer the money to HDA. The mayor said so. Not so, mate.
We have transferred the money, sir.
No, I'm saying...
Okay, don't have a conversation.
I'm saying, Mr. Mayor, that here you were, not once, not twice, making example, that HDA, rather than themselves, should purchase the land. That's your point. Agree on that. The minister says the same thing. But he's saying for her to be able to do so, the money must be transferred through you so that HDA should be enabled to buy the land. So that's a point which shouldn't carry any difference. So from this meeting, what we should take is the fact that the mayor agrees that HDA should purchase the land. They are not prepared to buy that land, but HDA should do so. And therefore the minister would be empowered to use them for that transfer in a stipulated minute that the money should be transferred to the HDA. What is difficult there? Thank you, Chair.
Well, it's just done by. Honorable Mente is the last one on this one, and then we'll get responses just to those few issues. Honorable Mente, you're the last one.
Yeah, and goes to Chair. You know, actually, earlier on, when we were all asking questions in a quest to find the solutions, because we are not trying to get competence of political heads. We are trying to find the solution of the people. And the unfortunate thing, once more, is that the people involved in this situation is the impoverished, are the ones that have been feeling the pain since apartheid. They are still feeling it today under us. The first thing is, I do not understand. Yeah, I hear the mayor responses and the minister is responding and everyone else. What was difficult into exchanging those notes with themselves instead of bringing them here? That the reason why I cannot do this is because you can still do it via these mechanisms. It's simple like that. And to be told that the steering committee is effective, I don't believe that, because that's the level where all these technicalities that are being brought to us. Now we are sitting here watching a competition of who's got better facts than the next. It's not about that. Ordinarily, Chair, the Bekela was not supposed to be a mechanism. Minister Chikunga is characterizing it correctly to say, out of frustration, I implemented such a plan. Ordinarily, and according to human rights, that was not supposed to be the play. And equally, when Minister Kubai says she does not agree with the process of Bekela, she's correct, because it's not supposed to be a response to that particular protest. That protest was supposed to be responded to by how are we going to give you proper human settlement and settle as human beings. That's what we are talking about here now. Now we are creating a situation where the mayor says, no, the emergency, I agree with the minister, the emergency will be the Begela process. Beyond the Begela process is no longer an emergency. The Begela process was not supposed to be a process in which we are responding to this particular mess. It's not. Whether PRASA has done it, PRASA will account to the Portfolio Committee of Transport on its shortfalls and signal security and all of that. But in this particular case, when the Minister of Human Settlement says it was not supposed to be a mechanism, I'm agreeing with her correctly, 100%. But because we want to raise to a situation of transport costs, the other minister is implementing a short-term relief so that the line can go. But ordinarily, let's carry our mandate. Our mandate was to respond to the protest in a corrective manner, which is give us land, give us homes, let us be human beings as well. And that's what we're doing here. Let's not try now to conflate as if there is two emergencies. There's not two emergencies. It's still the very same emergency, the emergency of people sitting on a railway line. And that's what we're responding to. We're not responding to the people sitting in Stock Road. We're responding to the people that are sitting on the railway line. And that's emergency. But now we are bringing a technicality simply because there's been it's not a relief. They are still in protest. They are still on the railway line. That's how it should be. Maybe perhaps the magistrates will interpret it better. But this, we are still answering as this committee. We are trying to find an answer to the questions that the protesters are posing to Parliament and its own government. And that's what we are doing. So let's not find out technicalities. And this competition can go to your meeting. Ah, fine, there you can box. The boxing ring is fine. You can box and throw facts at each other, court orders and everything. That is your thing. What we want to hear is, are these people going to receive a long-term solution in terms of getting land, getting homes for their children? Because even that 5x4 is not a house. That 5x4, some of us seated here, 5x4 is not even our bathroom. But we're going to give it to the people. Why isn't it not sinking in and registering in our heads that it's temporary? And these people must be moved as soon as possible. A 5x4, we're going to put people for another 12 months? Come on, comrades, let's do something much better. And the issue of buying land. Minister Kubai, go check though your comrades there in Joshko, how are they doing it? And let's keep this, all of these things. And the Minister of Public Works earlier on said he's got land available. Let him give you land, the requisition, let's remove it. Let him give you land and deal with the matter. And then we see if we are going to see another boxing from the city of Cape Town, then we deal with that. Thank you.
All right. I think that a lot has been said. Ultimately, gauging progress, none of us here in good faith can say that progress has been made to the extent to which it responds adequately to the problem on the table. So I think, Minister, the question that remains: what in law prevents the HDA from purchasing land? What in law prevents money being transferred to the HDA for the purposes of transferring land, of buying land rather? Because the key question here is the land. Whilst Mayor, I must also draw attention to 9.2 of the implementation protocol to yourself, which places the responsibility of consultations with yourself. on this matter, and I would understand that not to be receiving a rezoning application. I reiterate the point we made the last time. The implementation protocol, you are all jointly and severally responsible and accountable for its implementation in its entirety. You can't have a protocol which places you in silos. It can't happen. After all is said and done, this thing is going to bleed the fiscus if you don't resolve it. It's going to waste a whole lot of money of the taxpayers. Because you're speaking past each other. So I think this is really the clarity that we need. Is it legally permissible for the HDA to acquire land? And if so, set into motion the processes required for him to do so. I mean, you know, there's so many ideological debates about transferring PRASA to provinces and so on and so forth. That debate can take place at a particular time at a particular point. But it serves no one at this point in time to have a PRASA that cannot perform its function. I just think it's mutually beneficial for everybody for PRASA to function. Everybody, including PRASA itself. Final point, I think the one thing the board of PRASA needs to look at, and Deputy Minister, that the department must look at, I think it would be a missed opportunity for accountability, and it would be wholly reckless, if not fundamentally responsible, if those board members, or rather that board, that took the decisions that have landed us here up to now are not pursued. For the purposes of consequence management, that whilst we resolve this, the blame casting must come with a particular process of consequence management. That board, because otherwise these people will be deployed somewhere else. As far as I'm concerned, they are delinquent directors. And if we want to resolve this problem in its entirety, that aspect of consequence management must apply. So a particular process must be set into motion. You know, the Net One SASA debacle, the contract was found to be irregular by the Concord, but the then Minister of Social Development then applied for an exemption to say, I accept that it's irregular, but if I cancel it overnight, I'm going to cause a national catastrophe insofar as the payment of grants is concerned. So allow me to continue with it as irregular as it is whilst I regularize the process. Why couldn't that PRASA board do the same thing? To say, yes, it's irregular, but whilst we're regularizing, allow this. Because I don't think the courts are so rigid to the extent to which they do not recognize the problems which prevail whilst applying the law. So they need to transport, trust, pursue those people. Because when I come into every meeting and every time it will be said this, PRASA failed, and it's true, but you are not holding the people who failed at PRASA accountable. So you need to sort that out. Right. Minister, HDA must buy land. How? Let's do that. whilst these other things. Colleagues, what we can do is we can engage with the Minister of Culture as well. It's a particular point on the due processes she's employing insofar as dealing with the dispute in the event that it continues, so that there's movement there as well. But what interventions, Minister, insofar as HBL are available, so that you and your team legally can look at that? Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. As I said, currently, we do not have funds in HBA. HBA is legally an institution that can purchase land, but it needs the money. We've gone to National Treasury to request for the money. We've not been successful. We'll go back again. But the reality is that there is a conjunction. Remember, when HDA buys the land, it buys on behalf of somebody. They are not allowed to be the holders of the land, Chair. So they can buy. They will still have to hand it over to the city, that land. Not to us. No, not to PRASA. To the city.
Okay. Allow the minister to respond. If you've got an intervention or an input, raise your hand and you will speak.
Yes. So they will have to purchase the land. So they purchase it on behalf of somebody and then they finish. For example, all other land that we purchase, once it's developed, it's handed over either to the province or to the municipalities. So we'll have to have that. We will go back to National Treasury and say we've done every... Because remember when I said the issue of dispute is for me to do process, because National Treasury says, what process have you done in order? Because you can't just say immediately when there's money returned and you say, no, transfer it. They say it's not. Do a process. And that's the process we are doing. We believe that now with this meeting, we'll request the minutes of the meeting as well, Chair, attach them, our letters to the Minister of Culture, the letter from the Mayor and all those things, and say this is evidence that we've done everything in our powers. Where I'm sitting, Chair, is that I have citizens that I can make them victims to PRASA Falls. It's my constitutional obligation. That's what I'm trying to respond to. Hence, I'm trying to comply with everything. It's the requirements that I'm required to do. Application of the process to say, well, have you done everything? Have you exhausted everything? Because remember, in terms of medium term, there are issues, there are criteria that you have to comply with National Treasury. You just don't bring everything. So as part of that, they were saying to us, this does not qualify as criteria with adjustments. Now, we will have to prove that we've done everything in our power to be able to respond to this matter. Following even this meeting, we are expected to report back to Parliament as well and all those things. And hopefully, honorable members will talk to their members who are in the Finance Committee and Appropriation to support our plight as National Treasury comes into Parliament. So we will support that. We'll take all this documentation, we'll take all the process that we have done, write a request to Minister of Finance to say we are here. We have, because I remain responsible for those citizens, we have the citizens in that PRASA line. My interest as a Minister of Human Settlement, based on the constitutional obligation I have, I'm requesting that you allow us to have funds, you channel the funds, like Mayor has said, at the medium term, they would not ordinarily do it. So we package it with all this, submit, and we'll give you a report. We're hoping, Chair, that the Minister of Finance will respond positively. Once they respond positively, we'll sit and look at the implementation plan based on the time that the money will be with HDA and the process that will be. And again, we'll go back. The steering committee will have to resolve the issue of who then takes over the land. By law, the land can't sit with HDA once it's purchased. They will go to the geotax, then it must be developed, people must move there. It must be handed over either to the city or to the province for further development and maintenance, including the issue of the 61, the temporary solutions. That's why a mayor would know that even with the 16 informers, we had to push the city. And my frustration is because every time I had to get output, you sit with communities, you can't answer them. I've not been to the PRASA line because I don't have answers. I'm going to waffle when I go there. Until we did the same thing with Khayelitsha. We sat there, we agreed things didn't move. So when the mayor says it's not every time that they are not cooperating, I have an example as well to make just simple ones, the 16 informal settlements, where I was left alone. The province left, didn't come to the meeting. The city left me with the communities having to answer, knowing very well that as a minister, for me to be able to implement, because this is a concurrent function, I need them to cooperate. So we commit, Chair, to doing our part. I want to reassure you, from my side, we'll do whatever it takes to be able to respond to this. Where we have challenges, we'll be open and transparent to you, to the committee, that this is where we are failing, this is where we have a challenge, so that we can have the wisdom of the committee to share and see. We understand the frustrations that you are having, but equally, and perhaps, and must apologize that we brought perhaps the books in that Honorable Mente is mentioning, but it's out of the frustration. If we are not open to you, we hide and pretend that things are rosy. It will explode one day. So we needed to be clear where the differences are, Chair, and transparent to you in the process of what we are doing, so that you are more informed. Where we make mistake, we'll come back and account. I don't think it's a matter. We'll do what we need to do. We'll go back and come back with that solution. Like any other informal settlement, like any other communities that we have obligations to, whether they've decided to settle themselves or to settle by whatever cause, we still have a constitutional obligation to them. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. No, I think all in all, we appreciate your candor that you have demonstrated here, because ultimately it's the solution that we require. So I think, colleagues, we will await outcomes from National Treasury, and we will also advise the Minister of Finance from our side that the cause of action that the Minister is engaging in arises out of our processes here and discussions. What we'll do is, because there is an assessment that must be done in 2-3 weeks, I think we will meet tentatively on the 20th of September for the purposes of receiving an update, and whether that assessment has been done. It can even be a virtual meeting after the question session on the 20th of September, just to get an update on whether the application has gone to National Treasury. We will also do follow-up with our own correspondence and whether the assessment has been done. So we can tentatively put in the 20th. It is, yes. Dead on 3 weeks. After the question session of that day. So it will be a virtual meeting tentatively at 18:30. We will probably have to get permission, but if the program of Parliament changes, we'll advise. It should be very brief on two areas. The assessment, has it been done? Yebo noma cha. If cha, why not? And then await its outcomes if it's been done. Two, whether the processes with Treasury, insofar as HPA and the legal complexities and ownership have been resolved. It would be a tragedy to babysit such big departments and the municipality like this in terms of the protocol. Every action step, we must call you. Have you met? Yes or no? Please, guys, shape up or ship out. Implement your protocol. Colleagues, tomorrow, 9:30, Road Accident Fund. In this very venue, there is one change to the program that we had circulated. It's insofar as Brigadier Berger's concerned. The date just moves by about a week out. On that day, we will be meeting with National Treasury on some of the National Treasury notes that have come out to hear an explanation. So on the day that Brigadier Berger was supposed to be here, we'll meet with National Treasury, and then we'll move on. All right, colleagues, thank you very much. Meeting stands adjourned. See you tomorrow. Please, can you meet in my office on ground floor?
Oh, come on, tell me you get it. I hate this woman.
Thank you.